about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's up, guys? Just thought we'd have a little rap session, talk about business, see how things are going.
Why don't you start?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You're a champion, little horse, and you're dead. You're the champion of death. You're the champion of death.
I wish to complain on the strongest possible terms about the song which you have just broadcast.
Oh, there it is.
Wow! How are you doing?
Motorboating.
And now.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
Now I self-diagnose Asperger's, so I can pretty much say whatever I want.
Our feature presentation.
You start using that, aren't you?
Sure,
you
why not?
Using that. We mock him for a long time. He says, I don't have it. Now all of a sudden he sees it as a defense.
He's embracing it, yes.
Dude, I got to get out of jail free card. Are you kidding me?
That's true.
Hey, party people, welcome in to an all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. By the way, remember last year when we did that story about the woman who was involved? She was at a, I think it was like a plastic surgeon's office or a dentist's office or something like that in Beverly Hills. And somebody came in and started shooting the place up. And she survived because the bullet hit her breast implant.
Yeah.
Remember that
yeah.
story from last year?
Mm-hmm.
And what was our advice at that time? What conclusion
you
did we come
advice?
To based on the show's advice? Any right-thinking Americans advice? What I did think, we tell people after that story?
I think the conclusion is if you want to remain safe, breast implants is the way to go for safety reasons.
Obviously, yes. It's just, I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. It's like wearing a seatbelt in a car.
Right.
I mean, it just is. It, at this point, it's just common sense. The evidence demands that you consider breast implants if you don't want to get shot. Right. Well, I don't want to pile on here if you did not follow our advice last year. But here's another story. This time out of Moscow, 40-year-old woman attacked by a knife from her own husband during an argument. He stabbed her, was going for the heart, by the way, he admitted to police, was trying to kill her. Instead, what happened? The knife pierced and lodged into her enormous, as they say in the article, breast implant.
He couldn't get to her heart because her
must have been huge.
Implants were so big.
I wish it said, well, it says size D breast implants here in the article. It doesn't give what we would look for in America, which would be the CC size. But apparently he ordered her to get breast implants 5 years ago. Because it is Russia.
Yeah,
you know,
kidding.
It's a little different over there. And thank God he did, because A, it made her more of a woman, but B, it ended up saving her life when her husband snapped and attacked her. How crazy is that story?
Wow, there's two stories, so you're right.
That's scientific.
Yeah.
That's what
she's
we're
got
saying.
Fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake, fake, fake.
Well, that saved her life.
She's also alive,
she's
alive,
alive,
alive.
Yeah.
Right. He aimed a knife at his wife's heart in a fit of anger. It was the breast enlargement that blunted the force, says the article. Moreover, the content of the implant did not leak, and the breast preserved its original shape. So she went to the doctor. She just had a scar, basically, from where the knife went in, and they were able to replace her breast implant, and she's back up and running, and now single.
It
so it's
leak.
A win-win.
What's up with that? What are those, like those tires that you get a flat tire and it doesn't go flat? What's happening? This is
unless
awesome.
It was a, unless it was just a seal from the knife being in, you know, inserted and not pulled out. Maybe that's what it was.
Oh,
so it didn't
I
have
see.
Anywhere to go because the knife was still in when she went to the hospital. But
I didn't
this
know
is
breast
just,
implants are so tough.
Well,
this is a bucket of win. This whole article is just nothing but a cautionary tale for you ladies out there. I mean, if you want to live, then this is what you ought to be thinking about right now.
It's like walking around with a protective vest, like a bulletproof vest.
Correct.
All
exactly
the time.
What it is. That looks good, though.
That looks good, exactly.
Bulletproof vests are ugly. You
they
don't want
make
that.
You flat.
Sure.
Right.
That's the last thing you want.
This is the bulletproof vest that makes boys want to talk to you. Even better. So, good times.
All right. Thank you, Bean.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
That's horrible. Or good. Full disclosure, I didn't listen to what you just said.
B, did you watch the video that I sent you with Teresa Caputo?
I did not.
Oh.
Is she the Long Island medium?
Yes.
Then I did not.
I know you voted no on her, and I voted yes on her based on your no, but
which I appreciate very much.
But when you watch that, you go, oh, my God, she's way crazier than we thought.
Really?
Now, you mean she's crazier than I can talk to dead people?
Yeah, she's also...
She's even crazy beyond that?
She's also very New Jersey, New York-esque.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
And wide bug eyes and 150% intense. And the link that I sent you, this is funny because we send Bean links for work a lot. He was like, I'm not going to open it. But, yeah, when she talks, she, you know, she's all wrapped up in it and her eyes are big and her veins are popping in her neck and she really believes it. And the clip I sent you was how she talks to animal spirits. Oh, I've talked to a horse and I've talked to
a
dog.
Hold on, here she is. Hold on.
Let me tell you, I have the craziest story about it. I mean, I've channeled horses, I've channeled dogs, cats, parrots. One time, I do restaurants, and there's probably about 60 people in the restaurant. And here I am, I'm channeling, and all of a sudden I'm like, I couldn't believe my eyes. So I said, who lost a ferret?
Okay, that's, I don't.
I couldn't really? Believe my eyes.
Are you kidding, Bean?
She looks like Snooki in about 15 years,
yes.
By the way.
Yes, she's so just beat. I mean, she really
isn't,
does.
Isn't she coming in?
Yes.
She's channeling somebody's ferret. What did the ferret have to say for Beyond the
so
Grave?
So she's talking to all 60 people in the restaurant. You got to know the people in the restaurant are just trying to eat, I'm sure. You know? This woman comes in, hey, why don't you shut up? I'm trying to eat. So then she says, who has a ferret? And somebody raises their hand, and then she says, name Pete. Yes, I can't believe you got that. And then, I don't know, but she just, if I'd have known she was this crazy, I would have voted 6 times.
You'd have her in every day. You'd have her start doing traffic.
Every week we need to have this woman on because she's crazy. Okay. I know all these mediums. Bean and I don't believe in any of these mediums. I don't think any of them. I think some of them are better than others as far as convincing people that they're doing. I don't think they're talking to spirits.
But how do you come up with the ferret and the name Pete, unless he's a plant?
Well, who knows? Could be a plant. Could be the producers or whoever listening to conversation. I mean, there's ways to get around that.
Well, that's true.
But this one, she's a live wire. And I believe that she might be the craziest of all.
So you're going to fall very deeply in love with her when she comes in.
You know how much I love crazy.
Yes, you do.
I didn't know even who I was voting for, but I'm voting double yes now.
And so we got that.
And you saw her, Bean. I mean, look at that visual. Woo!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's frightening.
She's frightening.
She's definitely frightening.
I'm not kidding, Lisa. You look at her and go, whoa, I'm out.
You'll be looking at her in a few hours.
Yeah, and she's beautiful, what I meant to say. Also on today's show, we are going to let you try out for The Simpsons. Apparently, there's a big dispute between the producers and the people who provide the voices for The Simpsons. And as happens pretty much every time they come up for a negotiation, they all stand together. They all say, we're not going to do it unless you raise our pay. Well, they're getting paid quite a lot of money by now after 20 years.
About $8 million a year they're making to do the voiceovers for The Simpsons.
Seems like a lot, considering you're not, if you're acting like in a 1 hour drama, you really are working 12 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And this is not that. This is you go and do some voices for a couple hours.
We can talk about it later when we audition the replacements, but I think their deal is it's a tremendous amount of money.
It is.
But look how much it's making.
Well, agreed.
All around the world, syndication, DVDs, merchandise. I mean, there's so much stuff out there because of the success of The Simpsons. Billions of dollars. Our tiny percentage is paltry. That's what they're
And they're trying
is.
To cut them.
Which is also
40%,
true.
Right?
45%,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Which made me surprised that the show's not on CBS.
Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, we're going to let you try out. Those of you that do voices, you do an impression of some of the Simpsons characters. Bean, you do a poo, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look at that, right there.
Gold.
Boom, new a poo.
That
done.
Guy's gone. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Duff McKagan coming up in about a half hour.
He's good.
He's written a new book called It's So Easy and Other Lies. So we're going to talk to him. We have Evan Peters from American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out what's going on with that. They're not giving us enough information.
No, they really. It's refreshing to not have everything given away before the thing airs. But I still am as confused as you are as to what's happening.
They've given away almost nothing.
Yeah.
It looks good, though, doesn't it?
It does
and
look good.
It's a great cast.
Yeah, it is a great cast. Jessica Lange is in it.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. So anyway, we're going to talk to Evan Peters about that show. And we have a little actor by the name of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Come on with the come
yes.
on.
You might have heard of him. He's fantastic.
He really is.
He was just in 50-50, and he's also a musician, and I think he's a Renaissance man. I think he climbs, scales mountains. I'm not sure.
But he does it all.
He does it all. So we got that coming up as well, along with your Foo Fighter tickets on the fives or as close as we can get. So keep listening for that. We'll take a break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:53.
I can't believe we're talking to a rock star guy.
Thank as you. Early as You're welcome. It's good to be here.
Actually, no, right
yes, my
after.
Years with Revolver were pretty amazing, and I appreciate all of the continued support.
No, no, I'm talking about after your Showbiz Beat, Ralph. Then we're talking to Duffin Kagan from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver. It just seems early in the day for a guy like him to be up and promoting his book, but we're talking to him coming up. Yeah. Not to take anything from Revolver, and one day you'll also be nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm sure. It's just not your time yet.
Yeah, we need a couple more years, I think, in the hopper, and then we'll be eligible for nomination.
you guys didn't you weren't around for long, but you shined pretty brightly when you did.
Look, we influenced a lot of bands of our generation. A-ha.
Which ones?
A-ha said they were influenced by us. Interesting. Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh, I didn't realize.
They owe a big debt of gratitude to us. The Bay City Rollers.
And this is with none of your records actually being available to anyone to ever hear, right?
We were the ultimate hipster band. We had no records. You couldn't see us live anywhere. There was no way to see our work. Never and, performed. Oh, the hipsters loved it because there was no danger of us ever becoming popular.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So Duff coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Ray?
Imagine how furious a woman in Georgia was. This is not Showbiz news, but I just caught my eye and I wanted to talk about it.
All right.
Woman in Georgia, furious. She goes to her local Shell convenience store, there at the Shell gas station, orders her weekly Mega Millions ticket. You know, the recently the jackpot was over, I don't know, $120 million.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Walks out of the store, goes home, realizes they gave her a Powerball ticket instead of her Mega Millions ticket that she asked for.
And that's not worth nearly as much? Or it's better?
Well, she asked for Mega Millions numbers. They printed up the ticket. They give her for the wrong lottery.
Oh, I see.
There's Mega Millions is one game. Powerball is another game.
She didn't win, did she?
She won $25 million on the mistaken ticket.
Yes!
Her is anger, she complaining now?
Her anger has subsided considerably.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, you said you wanted to trade. Let's trade.
No, no, no. It's good. I'm good. I'm good, Nance. I'm good. $25 million on a mistake.
Oh, that's amazing.
Dude. Yeah, wow. Wow.
Most of us can't win. All of us can't win when we play the regular game. She got a mistake ticket that paid $25 million.
Sweet.
Now she's suing Shell for $100 million for giving her the wrong ticket. No, I'm kidding. That'd be funny if she did.
That would be funny.
You still gave me the wrong ticket. I don't care. I won $25 million. You gave me the wrong ticket.
I won another $25 million.
That's right. All right, let's talk showbiz news. Well, fellas, sad news for all of us. Rachel Yucatel is off the market. She got married this weekend.
She's awfully hot.
Of course, Tiger Woods' main mistress said I do to a guy named Matt Hahn Sunday in Vegas.
Hahn!
Thank you, William Shatner. She's 36. He's 26 years old.
Nice.
First thing I would do if I married Rachel Yucatel is have an affair on her.
Immediately?
I would bang someone else. How do you like it now, Rachel?
Just to set the ground rules?
How do you like it on the other side of the wedding ring?
Biatch!
Okay, got that on my system. Let's go to dinner.
You know what? I think she is gorgeous.
Right.
I think she is an incredibly, incredibly attractive person.
We do
the
too.
Only thing I am worried about is getting a boner.
Boner. More relationship news. Looks like Leonardo DiCaprio and Blake Lively. That coupling is all over. Us Weekly is reporting that they have parted ways after 5 months of almost constant togetherness. Leo tends to burn through them.
He does.
Yeah. Well, why not? Look at what's next for him.
Yeah, it's going to be another supermodel.
Right.
Good news is, according to parties for both sides, it was an amicable split and they intend to remain friends.
Sure.
They got that going.
I wish I was a celebrity so I could make that happen.
I saw that on the news last night and I said to my wife, I said, you ever notice how all celebrities maintain friendships after they break up?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we won't. And I thought, that was just kind of piling on for no reason. Yeah. This wasn't about us at all. I was just making a comment on the story of Leo DiCaprio.
You're barely remaining friends and staying married. In your marriage, you're barely friends. That's Can you imagine fantastic. What it's like when you break up?
Did she take a beat and think about it, Bean?
Nope.
She's
nope,
it was
right on the tip of her tongue, man. She was sitting on that. We won't. I mean, it was deadpan, too. It was, and not in a humorous way.
Sweet.
Maybe time for Kristen Stewart of Twilight fame to take over Loveline.
I'm sorry?
It may be time for Kristen Stewart of Twilight fame to take over Loveline.
To take over Loveline.
Yes. You know the late night radio program where they give out love and sex advice?
I'm just thinking about her personality.
Doesn't well, first of all, she's like... scintillating. She sizzles like bacon on a sidewalk in August. But more importantly, she has a lot of advice to give. Glamour magazine asked her about her advice for being in a serious relationship. She's been with Robert Pattinson for a while now, and they said, what advice would you give to the ladies who want to fall and stay in love? And she's a lot deeper than she appears. She said, people shouldn't be mean. Now, where do you come up with that kind of advice, other than a trained professional?
Sure, it sounds ridiculously unimpressive, but then when you think about it, you go, yeah.
Don't be an a-hole, was another piece of advice she gave. I think she's got something. Okay. I think she should write a book. Or a pamphlet. Or a 3x5 card.
Just a card.
And this Dancing with the Stars show, it's got it all wrong. Boy, is it wrong-headed.
Why? What happened?
Dancing with the Stars show. Last week, first of all, Elizabeth Canales.
Yes.
See ya, boot. See ya.
Outrageous.
See ya, smoking hot Italiana.
I didn't watch the show. I don't know how she danced, but it was
ridiculous
that they got her off, yeah.
And this week, Kristen Cavallari.
Wow.
Booted off the show.
They're just attacking hot girls.
The audience for this show hates hot women. That's what we're learning. Chaz Bono, safe. No problems. He is good to go. Actually, I knew he wouldn't leave. I had a sneaking suspicion somehow the producers would massage it so that he would stick around because Cher has announced if her son gets through to the next week, she will show up in the audience to root him on.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the odds of him getting booted off this week were?
Pretty slim.
No! So there's fewer and fewer hot chicks. And Hope Solo, by the way, was also in the bottom three. So
what's going on?
They're gunning for her, too. They're gunning for her. And I hate to see the Parents Television Council gloat, but that's what they're doing today on the heels of the Daily Variety announcement that NBC has canceled the Playboy Club. The first cancellation of the fall season. Playboy Club starring Eddie Cyprian, you know, the story of the first Playboy Club in Chicago.
Boy, they screwed that up.
What a slam dunk.
Man.
What a great premise for a drama, and they just could not make it work.
You would think.
I remember watching the first episode where the brand new Playboy buddy kills Chicago's top mobster in a storage room with her stiletto heel. And I turned to my wife and I said, uh-oh. We're in for a long haul here.
Wait, you're talking about Charlie's Angels.
No.
The Playboy Club.
Playboy Club beat Charlie's Angels to the gallows, believe it or not. So the Parents Television Council, and they were all up in arms because this is filth and disgusting and porn and degrading.
Probably
and
having not seen it.
Everyone should boycott. Oh, no, they hadn't seen it. No. They released a statement today saying, we're pleased that NBC will no longer be airing a program so inherently linked to a pornographic brand that denigrates and sexualizes women.
It had nothing to do with you.
Had they done
parents.
More sexualizing and denigration, I think they'd still be on
that's
the air.
Correct. I think frankly. You're right.
They didn't do enough.
So that's bad news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Clive Barker, author and director. He is 59 years old today. Guy Pearce, what a good actor he is.
He's good.
You see King's Speech?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he was great in that movie. 44 years old today. Actress Josie Bassett of Melrose Place is 41 years old today. Parminder Nagra.
Ooh. Oh, Parminder.
I like her.
If you saw her, you'd know her, and you'd think she's attractive. She's 36 years old today. Kate Winslet, speaking of hot chicks.
All right.
36 years old today. And actor Jesse Eisenberg celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, this is Doug McKagan.
You know, we rarely recommend reading material for you here on the Kevin DeBean Show, because what do we say, Kevin? Reading is for losers,
that's
right?
That's correct, yes.
But I'm telling you, if you read one Rock and Roll Stars book this year, make sure it's Duff McKagan's, of course, from Guns N' Roses, Loaded and Velvet Revolver. It is in stores now, just released this week, called It's So Easy and Other Lies. And Mr. McKagan joins us now on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Duff, how are you, man?
Hey, how do I enter to win those tickets for Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters, yeah.
You got to be the right caller. Sorry. He was on hold technically, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, too late. Sorry, Duff. Hey, first of all.
That's an intro, by the way.
How about that?
Awesome. Yeah. I forgot about that song, Get Out the Door. What a great song.
if you do say so yourself.
I rarely do, but I heard that on, you guys just played it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, I forgot I had that song. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Duff, we only have limited time with you here today, but in advance of us even talking to you about the book, I want to invite you to come down to the studios and be on the Kevin and Bean Show in studio, because we're not going to be able to cover all the great stuff and all the great stories and the way you've lived in short interview.
Down.
Okay,
down.
We'd love that.
Fantastic.
Let's start with the book. And I should say, I live in Seattle, Duff. You may or may not know that. So I've been reading you in Seattle Weekly and whatnot for years. And I know that you're an excellent writer. This is the first celebrity autobiography that I can remember that hasn't had a ghostwriter or a co-writer. You sat down and wrote every word of this yourself, right?
Yeah, I had no real burning desire to sort of tell my story or even do like a tell-all. And as you know, I know you live in Seattle, and I know where you live.
Oh, yeah. Going down.
Yeah. But, if you've read my Seattle Weekly columns, you kind of know how I write and what my angle on life is. And I do see the humor in my own story and the humor in other stories of people who might take themselves a little too seriously. And your neighbor there, to your left, is Sean Kenny, really from Alice. He taught me a lot over the last 5 or 6 years of getting off the stump of really taking your life too seriously. He was really key to me, my writing, and he doesn't even know it, actually. But
interesting.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction, because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, great, and your life is great, and you must have, and they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about your?
Well, yeah, that's a great point. At about 23, people would ask me when Guns N' Roses really started taking off, like, how's this changed your life? How's it changed you? And for about 6 months, I really believed, like, oh, okay, everybody's saying this. It must have changed me.
Right.
And what I did realize was it changed people's perception of me.
Yeah.
And once you figure that out, then you have to figure out how to navigate this sort of world. And it's really strange and sort of fascinating. And I wrote this book. I wrote these side stories while still writing columns for Seattle Weekly and ESPN. I'd write these side stories about how I got from 14 and really had this wanderlust for music and playing in punk rock bands and seeing great bands growing up. I got to see The Police in a club and The Ramones and The Clash and all these amazing shows, and it's struck a match, and I took off and I went to Hollywood and all this stuff. And the story, everybody knows my story, but this inside story of how I got strung out and addicted, and nobody dreams of being a musician and getting in a band and learning how to write songs and everything kind of matriculating to this great place, and nobody also dreams of becoming an alcoholic and all that. So I went into this place, this weird dark corner, and ended up in the hospital, and it was bad, and my pancreas had burst and all this stuff, and seeing my mom in the hospital, I'm the youngest of 8 kids, seeing her come in, she had Parkinson's at the time, and her taking care of her youngest son, and I should be taking care of her.
Oof.
And you know what I mean?
That's rough.
That was my turning point. And I called myself a bunch of names there in the hospital.
Sure.
And failure was one of them. And I turned it around. It really, I think at 30 years old, I found this whole new thing. Like, I started reading Ernest Hemingway watching documentaries on the Civil War by Ken Burns and figuring out life and riding a mountain bike. And I rode with Steve Jones, one of your guys' favorites there.
Sure,
And he and I, and he really kind of taught me some things about how to live life without all of these other things that I was self-medicating my panic attacks with
It is a fascinating story, and you can tell just from the couple of minutes that we've had with Duff. I mean, there's so much in this book that needs to be further discussed. I mean, the early years of Guns, the early months, I should say, of Guns N' Roses, because it didn't take you that long to get the big Geffen contract. But I can't believe how poor you guys were. I can't believe you guys subsisted on basically just handouts from friends for while you were getting this band up and running. I mean, it's amazing that the band was able to stay together and become so strong and so good in those conditions.
Top Ramen and Oxygen.
Yeah. That's college, by the way.
Wow, that's rough.
When we have Duff come back in on the Kevin and Bean Show, there's so many things I want to ask him about, including something you can buy at the pet store that will fight your STDs, which is a fascinating insight that I learned from the deal. And what Duff bought with his first royalty check will surprise you, too. But we're going to have to save that for another day. The book is in stores now. It is called It's So Easy and Other Lies. You can meet Duff at book signings all over the place this weekend, including Saturday in Costa Mesa at the Barnes & Noble, Santa Monica on Sunday, and Hollywood Book Soup on Tuesday. Duff, seriously, come in maybe next week if you have time. We'd love to catch up with you some more, dude, all right?
You guys are great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Guys. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 27 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Great show. All you other kids with your pumped-up kids, you better run. Run to your mother.
Hey, Homer.
Yes.
Homer, let me talk here. Great show coming up here at the Kevin and Bean Show, including Joseph Gordon-Levitt, also Adam Carolla of the Week in Rage, and the Long Island Medium will help you talk to your dead ferret on the other side. Okay, Homer, what's going on with you and the other the rest of the team here, the Simpsons
strike,
family?
Strike!
What are you striking over?
Money!
They're
what
talking
else is a strike over?
They're talking about canceling The Simpsons after 23 seasons because you guys will not take a 45% pay cut.
That's right. Now I've decided I want more money.
You want more?
I want $8 quadrillion.
That's not a
real
number.
And one of those flying dragon dogs from Neverending Story.
The voice actors for The Simpsons work a part of 22 weeks throughout the year and make in the ballpark of $8 million a year, but that's not enough.
Woo-hoo! That's exhausting. 22 weeks. There's not even that many weeks in a year, is there?
Well, there's more than that, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
So here's what has not been talked about, but it has been rumored in the past when the contract negotiations have stalled out, is maybe they keep The Simpsons going. Maybe they keep the same team in place, except for the voice actors, and they hire new people to come in and do Homer and Marge and Apu and Lisa and Flanders and all those voices.
Yeah, fat chance.
Well, our
who could do this voice? Nobody.
Our listeners are very talented, Homer, and we thought we'd throw it open. This could
more
be your
talented than the hosts.
This could this could be your opportunity. You know, who knows who's listening, or a casting agent might be listening, and your chance to actually audition for a Simpsons voice if you do one of them.
Hey,
give us a call.
You guys aren't on my side at all.
1-800-520-1067. I think you're safe. I just
you're
think
trying to give someone my job.
If they well, do a better job of you than you.
We want The Simpsons to stay on the air. That's what we're about. Of course, we'd much rather have the original the Simpsons voices, but if that can't happen, let's get somebody else in there who sounds like them.
Oh, thanks for all your support.
So if you can do, if you can do this.
Ay, caramba.
All right. Then we
ay, caramba.
No, not you. I'm saying if they can do Bart's voice.
Can I audition for Bart?
Well, this isn't for you to audition.
I want to audition for Flanders.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
All right, if you can say this.
Howdy, neighbor.
Okie dokie do.
All right, if you can say that, fine. Whatever voice you do, call
in. I'm a Christian freak.
At 1-800-520-1067. And,
I'm Marge. Homer's packing where it counts.
Yeah. Homer, you sound like Homer every voice you do.
Oh.
Yeah. We're looking for people that could do, say.
Now just have a cup of coffee.
Let's just have a cup of coffee.
No, ask her.
Oh, sorry.
If they could do her voice.
I need a job.
You're in deep do now.
Simpson, eh?
Yeah, there you go. Little Mr. Burns. All right. So what Simpsons, thank you, Nelson. What voice can you do for The Simpsons? We want to hear from you. 1-800.
This one.
Right.
Okay.
If you could do that so that it sounds like a Simpson doing it. Not
right,
so that
I'm
it,
confused.
Not so that it sounds like Homer Simpson doing it.
What?
He's really hurt. I think he broke his leg.
Maybe you can do that voice.
I hate that kid.
Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break. If you do an impression of The Simpsons, we'll talk to you.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Homer Simpson is here, incredibly.
Yes, here I am.
You're going to help us talk to some of our listeners who are trying to replace the voice actors on The Simpsons because they want too much money, so the show might be canceled.
I'm here to give someone else my job so I will no longer make money.
Okay,
wait a
that's
minute.
Good. I'm glad you realized
that's
that.
That's a bad idea.
What is your job at the nuclear power plant, by the way? What exactly do you do?
I am in control of rods.
Rods?
Yes.
I thought that was Lisa's job.
I'm in the rod department.
Okay. In the rod department. Okay. Yes.
Could you be more specific?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So we were asking for Kevin to be listeners who maybe would like to be new voices on The Simpsons if they do end up parting ways, but the show continues. So you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with John? He's calling, I think, about your wife, Homer. John, welcome to the Kevin to be show. Thanks for calling in, dude.
Homer, where have you been?
Oh, John.
It's not terrible.
You're turning me on.
I'll just have a cup of coffee.
I've got donuts.
I've got a chubby.
Wait, this is going...
Oh, yeah. I need you.
Yes. Oh, keep going. I'm almost done.
Oh, come on. I don't think we want any of this. It's cartoon love.
Wow. I saw John was going to do Marge. I thought, what a disaster that is.
Stop talking. You're ruining it.
John, well done, sir. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's try Sharud.
We should have a prize for these people.
I know. I wish we did. It sure would make sense to have some Simpsons DVDs or something, but we don't. Sharud is on line six. This will kill your chubby, Homer. Welcome to the show. What's going on, dude?
Marge, when are you going to talk to that deadbeat husband of yours?
All right, chubby gone.
Wait, is this Yoda? Do it again.
Marge, when are you going to drop that deadbeat husband of yours?
So it's true. Your hair committed bluicide.
That's Selma?
Yes. Or Patty.
Or Patty.
Yeah, either way, I hate them.
They're interchangeable? All right. Thank you for the call.
All right, let's try Taryn. Taryn is on line one.
The Ripping and the Tearing?
No.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
You're more up to date than I thought, Homer.
Woohoo!
Taryn, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to do?
I'm Idaho.
Huh?
Do it again.
I'm Idaho.
I just made an egg in my pants.
Yes.
That's who you're trying to do. Ralph Wiggums, right?
That's the retarded boy.
I don't think. Burn things.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not good. But we're glad you called, Tara. Thank you very much for the call.
Leave him alone. He's retarded.
1-800-520-1067. Can you be a new Simpsons voice? How about Chris on line two? Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Kevin, Bean, Lisa, and Homer.
Simpson, what are you doing with those bumbling DJs?
I'm sorry, Mr. Burns. I'm sorry.
Oh, I will have to fire you.
Oh, I lost two jobs in one day.
What a shame, what a shame. Smithers, get me some other bumbling food.
I like that he takes the phone away from his mouth to talk to Smithers. So
he's playing an entire scene. I appreciate his commitment.
Bean, would you like to work here at the power plant?
Who, me or Bean?
Lisa.
Lisa,
yeah.
She's also in charge of rods.
If you've got lots of rods, I'm there.
Yes. Radioactive ones.
Very well done, Chris. Thanks for the call. I think we have time for one more. Let's try our man, Tom. Tom is on line one, joins us on the Kevin to Beat Show. Hi, Tom.
Oh. Tom just hung up.
Tom.
Oh.
He was intimidated by Homer.
Tom is in Maine making toothpaste.
Yes, he is. Well, Homer, I hope things don't go south for you. I hope you still have a job.
I don't believe you. You're auditioning people to take my job right in front of me.
Only a couple
of
them.
Hey, Homer, come on the show. Let's find someone else to take the jobs away from you and your family. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the support.
Kevin and Ralph coming to blows over the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie that's coming out.
I can't wait. I'm going, I think there's a screening this Thursday night before it opens on Friday.
I'm going Wednesday.
I'm going you're not going Wednesday. I'm going Thursday night, and I'm going to see
I'm
it.
There right now. I'm at the movie right now. Look, I have to be honest. Boxing robots, not my thing. But
I love robots. I love boxing. I love Hugh Jackman. All three of those things are in real steel.
That is true.
And
I was going to say, but I tend to give it a benefit of the doubt because Hugh Jackman makes pretty good choices most of the time.
It looks very fun to me. I'm much enthusiasm for it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You can tell by the multiple muches.
That's correct.
Sure.
There are a lot of
them. I have much enthusiasm. Mm-hmm.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Apparently, the Week in Rage with Adam Carolla is coming up. Something called Thanks for That Info, Bean. I'm not familiar with that. It must be a new feature.
Can't wait.
And actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt also later on today. Very excited about that. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
The beauty of the
thanks for the info, Beans, is usually I am not here in the studio when Kevin is furiously writing down what Bean is dictating.
You don't have to live through that nightmare.
So it's like hearing it fresh for the first time for me when I hear this segment. I become one of your listeners, Kevin and Bean, when you do this segment. That's what's very entertaining. All right, before I get to showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away for a very cool event. We've been talking about movies. This one is a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of The Thing.
Yay!
Happens Monday, October the 10th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday the 14th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else at the red carpet world premiere. This is The Thing, of course, the prequel to the legendary John Carpenter horror film, based, as the John Carpenter version was, on the original movie from the 50s. It's a classic sci-fi film, and this looks terrific.
It does look good.
If you'd like to go, first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through, you'll get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing.
The Thing.
50s were a great era for science fiction because they just didn't work so hard on the titles. They would say, go see The Blob. What's it about?
It's a big blob that goes through Pennsylvania. It's a bunch of kids.
They didn't work hard on the special effects.
Well, next week we're premiering The Thing.
What's that about?
Well, there's a thing that they find under some snow, and it's a very dangerous thing, and it's The Thing.
Yeah. All right. Looking forward to that.
Just saying. Didn't spend a lot of time wasted on those movie titles.
More movie news. No surprise here. Lion King 3D pulled in just a hair over $100 million in 3 weeks.
Whoa.
That's what that movie did.
It's crazy. And the only cost they had was changing it to 3D.
A little conversion. Slap it back up there on the big screen. 100 mil.
Wow.
That's what they get for their troubles. So Disney said, hey, what do we got in the vault?
Oh, they're going to release something else
they
in 3D.
They have just announced four more animated 3D re-releases from the Disney vault. Beauty and the Beast 3D, Finding Nemo 3D, Monsters, Inc. 3D, and The Little Mermaid 3D.
And the beauty of this is a whole new batch of kids have been born since those were in theaters.
That's
again
true.
That have never seen these movies.
These have all been available on DVD, so if parents bought them during that limited window where you can purchase the DVDs, the kids probably haven't seen it. But 3D is a big draw, especially for families, because it is an event that the kids like to go to.
Sure.
And it's a draw for Disney because it costs them about $10 million to make the conversion. So you're investing $10 million and you're getting 10-time return on your investment.
I'm surprised it cost that much. I didn't know it cost that much.
Yeah.
To convert it.
Wow. It's not a cheap procedure, but still, for less than $10 million, if you can make $100 million, that's a good business model.
Seems
right
good.
There.
Yeah.
What if a boxing robot took on The Little Mermaid? Would you go see that?
Depends.
Yes.
Depends. She doesn't have any legs, though, right? That probably wouldn't be a good fight. I'm just guessing. I don't know much about the sport of boxing, but I'm assuming if you have legs, that gives you a leg up.
She could sweep the leg.
She could sweep the leg.
She could do that.
With a tail.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about movies, Fox has announced they are doing finally the film we've all been waiting for. The big screen version of the classic 1960s TV series, Mr. Ed.
Come on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Remember Mr. Ed?
Just faintly.
A horse is a horse, of course, unless, of course, it's a talking horse. You never seen a talking horse.
I remember watching it.
My neighbor is Mr. Ed.
What?
Well, not the
That's
horse.
Right.
But...
Lisa knows him.
Yeah.
What?
Alan Young was the actor who played Wilbur.
No, Wilbur. That's right, Wilbur.
The owner of the talking horse. Well, smash hit 60s TV series. Yeah. Let me explain something to you, Fox. There used to be just three channels.
Yeah.
So everybody watched a lot of crap they wouldn't watch right
now. No options.
And there was also the novelty factor of watching a horse's lips move, which, by the way, we've gotten over at this point because it's easy to do in every movie.
Big screen version, Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed, coming to a theater near you. News was announced yesterday, and almost immediately, Sarah Jessica Parker's agent popped a bottle of champagne. I don't know why. Maybe they're excited about that news. Who knows?
Well, they can't cast anyone else, let's face
it. We'll have to wait and see. Sad music news. Adele has had to cancel her entire U.S. tour. She's got a serious problem. She has what they call a hemorrhage on her vocal cord.
Ooh. Oh, that sounds bad.
If she's not careful and she doesn't give herself vocal rest, she could lose her voice forever.
Wow. That seems worse than normal throat trouble.
Yeah. So she's had to scrap the entire tour. Earlier this year, she had to cancel her North American tour because she had laryngitis. Then she had to postpone a few dates in the UK because of a chest infection. Now everything has been canceled until she can get well. But this is a serious problem. And for someone like her, who is a talent-based singer as opposed to an auto-tune-based singer, she really has to take care of her voice. So,
and the only thing you can do for this is just rest?
Yeah, it's the only thing.
Nothing else.
And eat. I mean, she'll still eat, right? Oh, she can't sing, but she can eat.
Man, why you gotta be like
that? I'm just saying.
You gotta kick someone when they're down.
Poor girl's gonna bleed out from her vocal cords, and you're just cracking wise. Sweet. And Kat Von D, Kat Von D, is heading towards a music career as well. She's announced she started work on her debut album. That's going to be good.
I love her.
I do too. Are you looking forward to her debut album?
I'm curious.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I mean, let's face it. Most of those,
I know you like. I know you want to kiss her. Just stop it.
Most
just
of those don't work out, but some do.
Oh, they don't.
Some do.
This one probably will, though. Yeah, you're right. My bad. I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm just saying.
Because usually people who are tattoo artists make great singers. You're right. My bad.
But just because, I hate to be on Kevin's side here, because I don't have any idea whether she can sing or not. But because
we know where your penis lands on this.
No, this doesn't have anything to do with
you. Okay,
this doesn't have anything to do with penises. Mm-hmm. Just because she's good and famous at one thing doesn't mean she's not also talented in another area.
Okay,
we got Joseph Gordon-Levitt coming up on this show. Right? He's an outstanding singer. I wouldn't say just because he's a good actor doesn't mean he can't sing. He turns out he can sing.
Right. So you're saying one kind of performance to another kind of performance is the same leap as someone who's a tattoo artist becoming a singer. That's what you're saying. Those are comparable.
I'm just saying it's not impossible that she's also a talented singer. That's
it's all. Not impossible. You're absolutely
I'd like to
right.
give her the benefit of the doubt.
I would like you to name for me the last person who came from a career as disparate as tattoo artist into music and made something worth listening to.
Susan Boyle.
Had been a singer her whole life.
I thought I had you there. Because she was like a secretary or something.
It's not done a lot. It's a long shot. I agree with you. The rule is not going to work.
Okay. I'm just saying.
No exceptions. Why are you hating on Kat?
I'm not. I'm just trying to be, take the penis blinders off the story and just
nothing to do
it.
With penises.
Oh,
all right.
Everything has to do
nothing
with penises.
Nothing to do with penises. Right.
Now I'm splitting from Bean and I'm saying has everything to do with penises.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. I just YouTubed while we were having this discussion and I have a clip of Kat Von D singing from a YouTube
video.
Well,
finally, this will prove one way or the other.
Now, I haven't heard this, so please don't hold me accountable. I don't know if she's good or bad, but this is her actually singing.
The blind taste test.
All right, let's hear it.
See if we think she's any good.
Thank you, guys. It's hard to say, guys. Let's say it's a season.
Wow.
It's all you got tonight. Thank you, guys. It's hard to say.
That's not what I was expecting.
I think that's the man with no face
that's
from TLC.
Better than I expected. Now I'm actually looking forward to the CD.
That's the man with no face.
Look, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first person to come on these airwaves and say, I apologize. I didn't give her the benefit of the doubt. I was wrong.
But look how good Kim Kardashian was when she started singing.
You did have a good point there.
Funny how they only released a clip of that song, right?
Yeah, the one with her crawling on the floor.
Yeah.
Look, if Kat crawls on the floor in a video, then I'm on board.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brian Johnson of ACD Mother Effin' C.
There it is. There it is.
64 years old today. Clive Barker's 59 years old. Guy Pearce turns 44. Josie Bissett of Melrose Place fame is 41 years old today. Parminder Nagra is 36 years old. Kate Winslet is 36 years old. James Valentine of Maroon 5 is 33 years old today. For those of you who don't know the name, he is a guitarist, James Valentine. I only bring that up because I know Kevin's a big Maroon 5 fan. He's always running around the station here asking us to give them some love, so I didn't want to leave them off the birthday list.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
The proof is in the pudding, my friend.
I was saying, I think they need it. So someone helped them. That was my point.
And actor Jesse Eisenberg's 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. By the way, we got a lot of shows still to come today, but looking ahead to tomorrow, check this out. Jane Velez Mitchell is going to be joining us. Mm-hmm. She, of course, is one of the anchors for Headline News on CNN, who's covering the Michael Jackson trial.
We need to make sure she's all right. She hasn't smiled in about 2 years.
Hasn't smiled?
No.
I haven't noticed that.
Nope, she's completely non-smiling now.
Well, yeah, she's doing a serious job, though.
Agreed.
Okay,
wouldn't kill her.
Also, the president will be on tomorrow. Mr. Dana White joins us from the UFC, talking about the big fight this weekend. Funny man, comedian, slash actor Paul Scheer joins us. And, Lisa, I know you're excited. Tom Six will be here tomorrow.
Centipede.
He's, of course, the writer and director of The Human Centipede and the new sequel, The Human Centipede 2. So that's all tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin DeBean Show.
First, it's time for...
Fetch That Info Bean!
Now, we've done this for a while because Bean has Asperger's.
Too damn long.
And people with Asperger's don't understand the receiving end of a conversation.
They don't get the social cues.
The social cues are not for them. Most of the time, people don't even have time to talk if they want to talk.
Right.
I know you like to say that, but I don't have Asperger's.
Right. Didn't Ralph give you a quiz?
Another quiz.
Last week, the week before, and you were like 98%?
Dude, you knocked it out of the park.
Asperger's.
What does it take for you to admit it, first of all?
I don't
know. It may be
Asperger's.
Part of Asperger's that you can't admit you
That's
have
what,
Asperger's.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Our friend Dr. Drew agrees.
The problem is that I bring up too many fascinating topics, and there's not enough hours in the day to discuss them all. That's what this is about?
Yeah. You bring up topics that you think are interesting. Now, here's the thing. We're sitting here, and we're playing commercials of the song or whatever, and we're not talking about anything. So it's not like we're saying, hey, how about that new Justin Bieber Christmas album, right? None of us have said that. We haven't read it. We haven't done anything. This is a very rare one topic, one time, thanks for that info bean.
Okay.
It's not a whole list of a bunch of stuff that he said that was ridiculous and we need to let
him
know.
This is just a... Really?
This is one conversation.
Okay.
And by conversation, I mean monologue.
Yes, of course.
This is a surprise to me because I don't recall us discussing the Justin Bieber Christmas album.
We didn't.
Although I am very excited about
it. You talked about it. That's what happened. But there was no discussion.
Why would
we? In stores November 1st, you know.
Because
discuss that.
The rule in the room is don't engage Bean when he starts talking like that. And it's really difficult because you really kind of have to be an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. It's hard to do that. And Lisa took a while, and Beer Mug took a while, but I think we're all learning. And so this is the first statement that Bean made, and then we'll follow up with every statement after that.
Okay.
Maybe it was 3-4 days ago. I'm totally excited about the Justin Bieber Christmas album.
Fetch That Info Bean!
Now, Bean knows we don't like Justin Bieber. He knows that.
He does.
But you guys are wrong, on that.
My feeling, my guess, that, and I've worked with him for a long time, is that he says that to get a rise out of people. Now, he's going to deny that, but I think he does.
It's not true. I happen to be a fan. I think you guys are missing out on some good records. That's all.
You have not been a fan in the past when we've talked about it. When Ralph talks about Impede the Beeb and all that stuff, you were fine
with
it. You
kind of liked him in the movie.
Yeah, I turned around on him. And we've discussed this on the show. I was not a fan at first. Ended up really, really being into him. And the movie.
How can you be an adult and really be into Justin Bieber?
I
don't even have kids.
I like his songs. I can't help it. I like his songs. And his movie really, really impressed me. And of course, you guys know how I feel about Christmas music. So I couldn't be more excited about this album coming out.
But you know how we, one, feel about Christmas music and two, feel about Justin Bieber. So there's no way that any word in that statement could be interesting to us.
It will be nice. I think you will love it.
So I'm totally excited about the Justin Bieber Christmas album. I'm with Lisa. Like, you know when you say that you're rubbing us all the wrong way. You, without a doubt, and even
if,
you.
Yeah, and if you don't, then you are Asperger's defined.
To the 10th degree.
Not Asperger's.
So no one said anything because clearly he brought that up out of nowhere and we all don't like Justin Bieber.
Right.
And neither does Bean, but he's acting like he does to get a reaction. So then he follows that up. Now, remember, no one said anything with, he's having a Twitter contest looking for a name for the album.
Fetch That Info Bean.
Now, again, no one said anything yet. So now Bean's telling us about the contest for the naming of the Christmas album. And no one says anything. Now, here's the problem. Occasionally, Bean says something funny. But if he does it in a Thanks for That Info Bean, still, there's supposed to be no response. His tweet was pretty funny because he tweeted, I tweeted baby, baby, baby Jesus. All right, that's a pretty funny answer.
Yes.
You know, but not in the context of, I'm really so excited and I mean it.
And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, is no one listening to me?
I remember that.
Right? No one said anything. And then Beer Mug chuckled because he just couldn't help the fact that it's been clear for 5 minutes no one's listening to you. So then Bean says, as he continues this conversation, people are tweeting all sorts of photos of Santa Claus.
Oh, my God.
Right, so we're going on hour two of this conversation.
Oh,
or
Bean?
We're 20 seconds in, by the
How
way.
How can this be interesting?
That's that info, Bean.
It's not even interesting to Bean, but he knows it's driving us crazy, so he continues. And he notices that I'm writing at this point. I'm furiously trying to keep up. We need a court stenographer in here just with that shorthand that can keep up with this kind of stuff. It's impossible for me to do. So he notices that I'm writing, and he yells, Hey, that's interesting. You can't write that down.
That's that info, Bean.
Now, I'd like to suggest I can write down anything I want.
That is true.
First of all,
it's a free country.
You can't tell me what to write down and what not to write down.
You also can't tell us what's interesting.
You can't
and what's
tell us
not
it's interesting.
Because you don't know.
You can say that's interesting to me, but you can't say that's interesting.
I'm just saying, not every conversation is a thanks for that info, Bean. That's all I'm suggesting.
There's never been a bigger one than this one. Because you, in this case, even you know that the room is the opposite of this sentiment. That the room hates Bieber, thinks hopes he's a flash in the pan, he's going to be gone soon.
And really could care less about anyone doing Christmas music.
Right. We don't like any. Even you have to know
and
that.
And then a Twitter contest, really?
That being joined, and then people are tweeting, and he noticed I'm writing, and he says, you can't write that down. And then, now he's upset. Damn you to hell!
That's that info, Bean.
Now I'm interested.
And then... He said the coup de grace. I mean, this is the grand finale.
All right.
This is where Bean goes wrong every time. Hey, you guys, every conversation starts when someone says something.
That's an excellent point, whoever said that.
That's that info, Bean.
I'd like to suggest every conversation starts when somebody says something interesting to other people. Have you thought of that?
You guys don't get it.
Interesting,
man.
To other people.
Right. And if it is interesting, you know what you get? A response.
I can't control my horny level.
You know what you don't get? Dead silence.
There's your clue.
You knew. Admit you knew that that was falling on the wrong room. There's got to be a chat room someplace with other with other pedophiles that you could go in
it's
and
not
just chat
like
about
that.
How
Look,
cute he is and his hair. And
it's not a cute thing. It's not a hair thing. It's nothing like
Did
that.
You bring condoms with you?
It's not that sort of a thing. I just am a fan of his. Look, here's
Did
the thing.
Did you think this room was going to engage in that conversation?
I may, in this instance, have misjudged the conversation for this audience.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
But it went on for half an hour.
And there it is. At least you learned from the cues that we were giving you, which was dead silence.
It went on for about, the entire conversation took about 20 seconds.
Oh, no way.
It really did.
That is
2 minutes,
not true.
2 minutes at the least, because there were a lot of pauses.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
Right. It's not what's happening here.
So that's my man Bean with
the album's called Under the Mistletoe, by the way.
Do not.
Shut up.
Do not.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Do not get us mixed up in this case. I know a lot of people get us mixed up. This is Kevin speaking. It's not me. Bean is the pedophile.
Not at all. That's ridiculous.
Bean loves Bieber, and Bean has had some of his email read by Chris Hansen.
I love to a young man. Deep and
that's too far. So excited we get a chance to revisit this topic, Kevin, yesterday that you talked to us about in Citizen of the Day. I love this.
Did the geezer bandit pull off his 15th job? Tonight, the FBI is looking into it after a bank is robbed by an elderly man in La Jolla.
Crazy, crazy story. The guy's gotten away with 15 robberies. And he looks like he's between 70 and 80, and sometimes he has an oxygen tank on. And how does he get away? You get the idea you'd get caught the first time.
It's very difficult to rob a bank because banks know that you're trying to steal their money. So they put a lot of things in place to prevent you from doing that. How do you get away with it once, twice, five times, then 10 times, now 15? We got an email from a listener who we will not identify, who has firsthand knowledge of the case, who may have some theories or some observations that he can make about the geezer bandit. Hey, we don't want to give out his real name. What should we call him?
Let's call him Cindy.
Cindy. Okay. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa Mack.
Good morning, Cindy.
we don't want to give any kind of details away that will reveal who you are, because we want to protect your privacy here. But you have first-hand knowledge of the case, and this is accurate, right? 15 robberies from this same guy right now?
Actually, you know, I don't mind. You can call me Jose, but I can't disclose the bank. But yes, the Geezer Bandit has pretty much robbed a lot of banks throughout the Southern California region. And he's really, really smart in the way that he robs his bank.
How does he get away with it? He seems too old.
You know what? See, his method of operations, he picks the slowest times out of the month for all the banks. And from what I've seen on the surveillance and all that stuff, he goes to an open teller. There's always an open teller. He'll go to him, and he'll present, you know, a demand, hold his revolver, and pretty much rob him.
Right.
However, if the lobby is full and there are people trying to greet him, he'll automatically go away.
I gotcha. Now, but he's not been caught in 15 tries. That's hard to believe. Do you know how he gets away?
There have been some speculations that he has been getting away by a different car that he goes in. There was one story, though I don't believe it, that he got away on a transit bus.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's just really amazing.
No one knows.
How this guy
no one knows.
What about the theory, and I think we talked about this briefly yesterday, that he's not really an old man. He's a young person who looks like an old man. In other words, some sort of Hollywood makeup or something. What's your thought on that?
Well, I've tried to see that speculation too, but from the interviews of some of the tellers who have had first-hand experience with the robbery with him, the distinct features of his skin, the way he breathes, and just the way
he's
that,
old.
Yeah, pretty much. You could tell that he's pretty old.
Right.
I mean,
all right.
He wears,
what about? Hey,
Ben,
I'm being told that we have the Geezer Band on the other line.
What? Why would the Geezer Bandit be calling in to give himself up?
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's move on to the Geezer Bandit. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Is this the Geezer Bandit? It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you?
What are you? What? Where are you? What's going on?
I'm just heading off to lawn bowling.
It sounds like there are a lot of explosions and sirens.
No.
Gunfire.
No, take that, you dirty copper.
Are you in a firefight with police right now?
Nope.
Sounds like it.
I got Mahjong coming up with some friends. So
I've never heard people fire guns at Mahjong.
We're very competitive.
Are you robbing a bank right now?
Nope.
How is it you keep getting away?
I'm a little rascal on my little rascal.
Oh, one of those little powered wheelchairs?
Yeah. They go pretty good when you soup them up with nitrous.
I would not have expected that. Wow, that's impressive.
I always put my left turn signal on and leave it on, and then I make a right.
Right.
Oh, I see.
That
throw
fools
people off.
Everybody.
Yeah. It sounds like you got your hands full there. Do you need to go?
Oh, I'm cool.
Okay.
Right. This guy is cool. How come they haven't tried the exploding money die that, you know, once you open up the bag of cash, you get ink all over yourself that you can't get rid of? I see that in the movies all the time.
I'm too smart for them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wrap the bags of money in my colostomy bag.
Oh.
That absorbs all the ink.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Just blue poop everywhere.
Oh, man.
At some point, do you have enough money and you can stop robbing banks?
No, I'm telling you, it costs a lot to keep me in Viagra and bitches.
Well, at least you're using it for a good cause.
Hell yeah.
Well, good luck getting out of this one.
I got to call my doctor. I've been erect for 8 hours now.
I understand she can't control what dead spirits come to her from the other side, Kevin, when she walks into a room, right?
Could be a horse.
That's right.
Could be a person.
Could be grandma.
That's
don't know. True. Have no idea, right? Talking about the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo, who joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, also actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Right now, time for the Ace Man, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm horrible. I got to get my wisdom teeth pulled today.
All right. Oh, dude, all four of them?
Just two. I'm not that smart. I don't know where the other ones are.
Good luck with that. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for his fine family of podcasts and all of his upcoming dates, including his Adam Carolla Hates the Holidays show in Anaheim in December. And don't miss Adam Wednesday nights with the Car Show on the Speed Channel. Hey, it's time for...
Yes? Just before you get there, tomorrow night, Universal City, John Lovitz Club.
That is true. Tomorrow night, Patrick Warburton.
There you go. Oh, nice. You and Putty together. I love that, dude. That sounds like a lot of fun. You can get all those details at AdamCarolla.com. Right now, though, time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working my way down to number 1, on the topic of wisdom teeth, had my teeth cleaned the other day. Yeah. And one of the things I complained about 15, 16 years ago on your show...
I remember this.
...is the dentist and the freezing cold, icy stream water they spray all over your super sensitive teeth. They put that coat hanger in your mouth that pulls your lips back. You're right. Just sitting there. You're feeling as vulnerable as you, and you're as sensitive as you possibly can. And they have that sand that tastes like it's like a cat. It's like you fed a cat nothing but sand and toothpaste for 1 year, and then they crapped onto that little rubber cup, and the guy rubbed it onto your teeth. There's no other time in your life where you'd want a rinse or a sip of water, and then the guy sprays the freezing cold water on your teeth, and you go, God, that hurts. And then 15 years ago, I said to the guy, you know what they ought to invent? One of those inline water heaters, so it warms the water, so it's not painful when it hits your teeth. And the guy gave me the worst answer a human being could give another human being. He said, oh, they got those. Listen, you idiot dentist, you know what your answer is? Hey, that's a capital idea. I should write that down.
Yeah.
You know what? You should be doing what I'm doing. We're going to make millions and then laugh all the way, you know, back to your catalog that has that page pulled out. But don't say, oh, they got those.
Yeah,
and it's nice to know that in 2012, when I'm back in that dentist seat and I'm getting the icy cold water sprayed on my teeth, that they've had those for 20 years now.
Good point.
All right. Don't say they've got those. Number two, anything. Oh, by the way, I'm tired of seeing any movie. No more. Here's the deal. Here's a rule. No more caper movies. No more bank robbing movies. No, none of those movies. I don't care if it's The Town. I don't care how good it is.
I love those movies.
Listen, I'll take the movie. You can't have the scene in it where the guy's in the van, he looks at his watch before he pulls down his Richard Nixon mask or whatever he's wearing,
right,
and he says, listen, 3 minutes, in and out. You got it? It's 3 minutes before the cops show up without another guy in the van raising his hand and going, how do you know it's 3 minutes? Maybe there's a cop in there right now. We don't know.
Or it could take a half hour.
Or it could take 20 minutes and we could get lucky. Where'd you come up with 3 minutes?
Adam, did somebody see Drive? Is that what's going on here?
Yes. And by the way, has it started already? Because I've been talking about 3 minutes for like 5 minutes. We should be arrested by now. Now, can you guarantee 3 minutes? There could be an off-duty cop in there making a deposit. There could be a cruiser right across the street coming up. How do we know? Or we could have a ton of time. Is this arbitrary? Did you figure this out? I really want to know.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, no one ever says that. They just nod their head and go, gotcha.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Straight to the safe.
Good point.
Look, if you knew you had 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever the designated time is, there'd be a lot more bank robbing going on,
yeah,
wouldn't there?
Yeah, that's true.
And rape and, you know, all the other good stuff.
I don't mean, well, that's not, we're not trying to say rape is good, though. That's not the
you
mean.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There'd be more of everything if you knew you had a guaranteed 3 minutes.
Yeah, if the police said, we're going to guarantee we're not going to roll to the bank until 3 minutes, and then you better be out.
And then how does it work if you're the cops? You get the call, and you're like, what do we got? Another minute 25, then we can start rolling. Well, when can we turn the siren on? That'd be about minute 40. All right, and finally, the clam chowder in the bread bowl. I was in the San Francisco airport the other week, and I looked at this, and I thought, this is awesome. You know, this is the greatest thing in the world, clam chowder, put into a hollowed-out sourdough bowl. I mean, when they take that bread bowl, anytime they take a piece of food and make it into a container, like when they do the taco salad and they deep fry the tortilla and then they put the salad into the tortilla bowl,
right, right.
That's awesome. But this is even better. But then I start thinking about it, why only clam chowder? Because clam chowder is really the only soup that doesn't need the bread bowl. It stands on its own. It's not like someone gave you a clam chowder in a bowl. You'd go, what is this crap? Get this slop out of my face. Why is it something soft and chewy that I can eat? I think gazpacho vegetable soup and lentil especially, They need a bowl you can eat.
A bread bowl.
Yes, chowder. You don't need a bread bowl. You don't need to apologize for clam chowder. It's the greatest of all the soups. It sits atop the soup pyramid. It's almost a stew. And that's the greatest compliment you can give to any stew.
I hope that I outlive Adam Carolla so I can be there when scientists reveal what was going on in his brain while he lived. Because you're a marvel to me, Mr. Carolla. The Adam Carolla Show podcast and all the details on all of his upcoming gigs, including tomorrow night at Universal City up there at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater. And the Speed Channel tonight, of course, for the car show. Ace Man, good luck with the operation today. I hope you enjoy that cold water all over your teeth.
Great, thanks.
Actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has a live music and film event that we're going to tell you about on Monday. He's in that new Dark Knight movie that they're filming right now, right, Ralph?
Yes.
New to the cast of the Dark Knight? Oh, I can't wait for that. Looks so good. Of course, from Inception and G.I. Joe and so many other great movies, too. So that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You know, you guys were talking earlier about the possible cancellation of The Simpsons over contract dispute.
Right.
Gets worse.
Really?
Looks like this might be the final season of Dexter.
Oh!
Oh, no, no, no.
No!
Why?
Because of a contract dispute?
Not acceptable. Pay him whatever he wants.
Overnight Nielsen ratings showed a nice bump for the 6th season premiere of Dexter on Sunday night. But as far as a potential 7th season, negotiations between Michael C. Hall and Showtime are in an impasse over his next contract for his salary. He wants $24 million for 2 more years of the show. Showtime reportedly is only willing to ante up 20. So $4 million stands between us and season 7
Guys
of Dexter.
Guys got to eat. I know I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but again, can you just pick 22 and call it a day?
Listen, if you try to interject common sense into contract negotiations, Kevin, this country will go into a tailspin.
No!
So we'll be following that story. Hopefully, you'll be able to resolve it.
Because you don't want to make Dexter mad, I'll tell you that.
I want more Dexter. You ready for a Lady Gaga TV movie?
Lady Gaga TV movie. What is it, about autobiography? About
yes.
About her life?
Yes.
No.
Lifetime is already working on Fame Monster, the Lady Gaga story, an unauthorized biopic about the singer. Gaga's not involved with the project, but it will follow young Stephanie Germanotta when she was just a starry-eyed kid in the Bronx all the way through her dressing in meat. All that will be
pinnacle.
Covered.
That's the pinnacle of her career, right?
Yeah.
Dressing in meat?
I think so. That and being carried around in an egg. Yeah. That's how you know you're a star, when your people carry you in an egg. Another musical star, Leanne Rimes, got a big shock on Monday when a young man came through her fence at her home in California.
Oh.
This must be wrong. Must be came over the fence, right? No, no, no. He took his car and drove through her fence.
What?
Leanne said, "Finally, I've got a stalker." But turns out the guy was just drunk.
I'm not sure she's looking for a stalker.
Oh, yeah, she was hoping. You know she was hoping. 20-year-old guy took out a stop sign, ran through a light pole, and then wound up in Leanne's yard when he took down her fence.
Wow.
How fast was this guy going?
No kidding.
Word is alcohol was involved. LA Sheriff's Department said, "That guy smelled like Kevin," he said, regarding his alcohol intake. So, guy must have had a few cocktails, I'm assuming.
You always mock Leanne Rimes for looking like she's gone 12 rounds in a professional heavyweight fight.
She's puffy, yeah.
She has an unbelievably rock-solid body, though. Have you seen pictures of her in the bikini and whatnot?
She's too skinny.
She got super skinny.
Way too skinny.
But, I mean, like, cut, though.
She's rock solid because she's bone. Bone is solid.
Maybe that's it. And cut, she'll cut you if you come in contact with her.
She's sharp.
Got edges.
She's a sharp kid. New Muppet on Sesame Street. Brand new Muppet. A pink Muppet called Lily. Lily apparently will bring awareness to the ongoing hunger struggles that poor families are facing in the United States. First time we'll meet Lily is in a special one-hour Sesame Street Sunday, October the 9th. They will unveil Lily, the pink starving Muppet. So we get to meet her. Looking forward to that. Apparently she'll be introduced when she is going through Oscar the Grouch's trash can looking for lunch. That's how we're first going to meet Lily, I'm guessing.
You don't want kids to be sad when they're watching Sesame Street, do you?
Kids have to learn.
But at that age?
Eat up! Eat your damn food because Lily's starving. You don't want to be like Lily.
No, kids will be feeling
You'll
guilty.
You'll be big like Snuffleupagus. Be big and fat. like Big Bird. Big Bird could skip a couple meals.
Could.
Give a sandwich to Lily and a little less bird seed for you, you fat
there you go.
Bastard. Fat yellow bastard. Big Bird. Justin Bieber in the news.
Good.
I'm shocked.
Good. Continue.
Yeah.
Continue. Good.
Sources close to the Bieber camp say that his favorite show is The Walking Dead. And he's got his people working on making an appearance on that series.
Don't you ruin Walking Dead.
He says he wants to make an appearance on that show. He's got the acting bug since doing CSI twice, and he wants a role on The Walking Dead. I say let's give it to him.
I say
no.
I say let's make him a corpse.
Only if they do it for real, though.
That's what I said. Let's make him a corpse.
All right.
And then maybe if that works out, we can talk about The Walking Dead. But first, let's make Justin Bieber a corpse.
Hey, I think that's why they allowed him on CSI, is because the producers were so excited at the possibility to shoot his character to death.
But, sadly, someone slipped blanks into the gun on the set, ruined everything.
Let's not misunderstand. You don't want him to die for real.
What?
Well, look, we're not encouraging anybody to do that. No, absolutely not.
No, I'm not.
I'd like him to die of natural causes today, though.
Right, like a safe falling on him out of a window.
Right.
Right. Or,
what natural causes?
I don't know, him driving a convertible and a low-hanging phone wire is on the road. You know, that kind of thing. And natural disasters, things like that. Yeah.
Please.
World would be
better. Who cares about Justin Bieber?
World
Nobody
would be
cares about Bieber.
I'm just saying the world would be a better place.
That guy. What would he need him for?
With a little less Bieber in it. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brian Johnson, legendary singer for the band AC/DC. He is 64 years old today. And he's not the guy in the shorts, right? He's not the guy running around.
No, that's Angus. Angus Young, okay, yeah.
Right. He's the guy in the Jeff cap, right? Is the guy
that's right.
Always wears that Jeff cap? That's the hat, like the newsboy's hat.
Yeah.
Mug's looking at me like I just took away his food.
By the way, 64 years old. He's out singing for AC/DC.
He's rocking. He's rocking
crazy,
hard.
Right?
Clive Barker, director and author, is 59 years old today. Guy Pearce celebrates his 44th birthday. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place is 41. Parminder Nagra celebrates her 36th birthday. Kate Winslet is 36. Kate Winslet, by the way, very much in love. Apparently, she and Ned Rock'n'Roll are just the white hot couple of the moment.
His name is Ned Rock'n'Roll?
Ned Rock'n'Roll is his last name.
What?
His name is Ned Rock'n'Roll.
Nope.
And they're very much in love. Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg celebrates his 28th birthday. And James Valentine of Maroon 5 is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. To the program. Hi, Joseph.
Hey there. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I can't believe we've never had you on this show before, man. That's
that's a bizarre thing, and it's like a huge flashback for me listening to your guys' voices. It's such a familiar sound.
Well, it's not okay with us.
I always used to listen to this show when I was driving to school every morning.
It's not okay with us that you haven't been on the program.
Why is it a flashback? Why aren't you listening to us now when you're driving to places? Why is it you used to listen to us?
Actually, I'll tell you, because I work nights these days, so I've actually been up all night. I didn't just wake up. I've been working like 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. these days.
And you're working on The Dark Knight still, or is it something else?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm working on. Yeah.
And I'm sure you go in there after your 20th all-nighter in a row and you go, guys, seriously, Batman can't once in a while do something during the daytime? What's the deal?
He's not a vampire, right? I mean, he can come out in the sun.
Well, I mean, he goes under the cloak of night, I think. Isn't that sort of the thing?
Sure, sure.
Now, the reason Joe is on here today, regular Joe is on here today, is because he has a live event that your fans know about that is happening at the Orpheum in downtown L.A. on Monday. This is something you've been doing around the country. And I have to be honest, I had heard about it but did not spend any time with your website until last night, and it is a fascinating project that you've got going on. I mean, really, 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 really interesting. Tell people what's going on, what the Hit Record is all about.
Well, Hit Record is my collaborative production company, and when I do little things like make short films or music or writing, I didn't want to just collaborate with people in Hollywood, you know, in the Hollywood industry. I wanted to work with all these different artists really all over the world who are doing such great work. And so we make things together, and it happens on the website, and we collaborate, and we split the profits when we do productions, and, you know, half the money goes to the contributing artists, and we do these live shows. Have you guys ever been to the Orpheum Theater?
Have. It's amazing.
I have. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there actually is a real history to Los Angeles, especially downtown L.A. Like, that theater's from the 20s.
Agreed, yeah.
Which is about the oldest thing you can find in L.A., right?
Yeah, you're right. Well, downtown L.A. is like the oldest part of Los Angeles. Now,
explain to me what the event is on Monday night. What do you do on stage?
So we're calling it the Fall Formal. And, well, at our shows, they're like half and half. Half we like present stuff that we've made, like we screen short films, or we do, you know, we perform music. Like on Monday we'll have a band playing a bunch of songs, and then the other half we make new things together. So everyone brings their cameras and records the whole thing, and like this is the biggest show we've ever done, like by far. So I actually like I want to make a concert film out of this show. So everybody that'll be shooting there, if they upload what they've shot to the site, then we'll all, you know, collaboratively edit it together into a concert film and stuff. And so we make stuff while we're there, you know.
I thought it was really interesting. And like I said, I spent a long time on your website last night, listened to a bunch of music, watched videos. I ordered the book, the first compilation book that you put out. Not only did I order it, not only did I pay for it yesterday, I already got an email this morning from the site saying it's on its way. It's already been shipped out. I'm like, how's that for customer service, right?
That's Christina Gardner running the record store. Yeah.
Leslie Dunn,
but you have hundreds of collaborators involved in this book. I mean, people uploaded songs and videos and drawings and poems and everything. And do you curate it? I mean, is that kind of what your job is to pick the stuff that that you think is the best or what?
Well, it's not so much that people upload finished things and I pick. It's more like we all come together and make stuff together. And I sort of direct it. It's different than being a movie director, but it's a sort of directing, and, you know, like someone will write something, then someone else will take that piece of writing and, you know, record a live action version, and someone else will edit that, and someone else will make the music, and everyone's just sort of working on each other's stuff and making things together.
And I was surprised, just as you mentioned in one of your videos on the site, that you sent out $50,000 in royalties to basically people who just came to your website that are not professionals for the most part, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And because we've made some money with it recorded. The Fall Formal will definitely make money. So everything that we screened there that night, all the songs that we played, you know, all the different artists that contributed to making that stuff, they'll get a piece of the money.
We're going to give away some tickets right now to listeners who may be interested. If this sounds fun to you, Monday night at the Orpheum, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Is the show sold out for people who don't win them free right now, Joe?
No, it's close to sold out, but I really wanted to pack the place because this night is actually really, really special to me. Like, seriously, this is a 2,000-seat theater. The biggest place we've ever played is 800 seats. And
wow.
This is like, it's really the biggest thing we've ever done. And this is such my, like, you know, my passion that I wanted to come on K-Rock and make sure it sells all the way out so the place is, like,
well,
full. You know?
I'm sure that'll happen. Do people have to have some kind of talent? Like, if they show up and they got nothing, do you kick them out? How does that work?
No, absolutely not, of course. If you just show up, you'll just see an awesome show. But if you want to shoot it, or if you want to, or, like, especially, it's called the Fall Formal, so this one we're dressing up for. Like, normally I just wear jeans and T-shirts to these shows, but
right.
I'm getting, like, a spiffy-ass suit. People are, like, wearing gowns and kimonos and things. Like, it's gonna be fun.
Here's what I love. Here's what I love, B. Let me just interrupt real quick.
Okay.
I love that we've been on the phone with Joseph Gordon-Levitt for 5 minutes, and I'm still not sure what we're talking about.
Well, that's why it's a beautiful thing, right? And I was going to ask, and I want to poll the room here. You've heard Joe for 5 minutes. Brilliant or crazy? Lisa, what's your vote?
I think it's a little of both. It's the best combination.
I think it's
awesome. Wait, Lisa, are you going to come?
I may come. It sounds really fun.
No guy's asked her that in a long time. I think he's genius. I think it's both, too. Mm-hmm. But that line between genius and crazy is a fun one to experience.
Yeah. It is. It's a fine line.
I will tell you this. Like, if you come, like, I hate to call it unique because that just sounds like self-important or whatever. But, like, it really does feel like something else. And that's just because, look, I'm an actor, right? I'm a movie actor is what I am. I'm good at playing live shows. I'm good at, like, performing for an audience. I grew up performing Third Rock from the Sun in front of an audience. But, like, what does a movie actor do live? You know, I mean, you could do a play, I guess, and but like what hit record is sort of like my way to take this stuff that I make, these short films, this music, this different art that I collaborate with people to make, and put on a live show. And so if you want to come see me put on a show, trust me, it'll be a good one. Wait, you guys see SNL? I'm good at putting on shows.
You are? Yes. In fact, that blew my mind, and maybe for a lot
Thank
of people
you.
Too, who didn't Thank realize you were like, you know, you're the young Hugh Jackman, the dancing, singing, crazy machine. I mean, I had no idea you could do that stuff. I mean, it's
amazing. You have no idea about a lot of things, Bean, or is that Kevin?
You're right the first time. All right, listen, we're almost out of time. Let me give the details again. You can buy tickets for the show at the Orpheum this Monday night at goldenvoice.com, and hitrecord.com is where you'll be like me last night and just get sucked into the vortex and just will keep clicking from one thing to another. You may lose your whole day, but you should definitely check it out. And I'm glad we had a chance to have you on. I hope we can do it again. Maybe if you get some time in the future, come on and spend some time with us in the studio.
I gotta come into the studio. I want to come in, you guys. Like, seriously.
Hey, we're not saying no.
you guys have said no to me before.
Oh,
I have
we have
no.
not.
I've been,
Never.
Yes, you have.
What did
sure
we say no
happened.
For?
I don't know. I think I was trying to promote some like tiny indie movie 10 years ago that no one wanted to see, you know?
No way.
All right, possible.
That is possible.
It's possible. It is possible, but we'll make it up to you.
And they were like, "Oh, the kid from Third Rock and the Sons in this like indie drama. Do you want to have him on the show?" And you guys are like, "Yeah."
All right,
let me ask you this question.
If you were in our position, what would your decision have been?
No, I don't blame you. I'm just
he's just calling us on it.
Listen. We can be wrong sometimes. You turned out to be amazing. A lot of the people we turn down don't. So what are you going to do? We do want you to come in, Joe, so that would be great, though. And good luck on Monday night. Again, goldenvoice.com if you'd like to buy the tickets and see this
thing.
Whatever it is.
This thing
that Joe's doing.
It's all formal. Are you recording?
Sounds fascinating. I'm not kidding.
All right, man. Go get some sleep, dude. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Good night. Thank you, guys.
I don't know if you're taking a look at your timetable or not, but the crazy train just pulled into the station, ladies and gentlemen. Teresa Caputo is our guest. She is the Long Island Medium, a new show Sunday nights at 10 on TLC. But she's been crazy a lot longer than the time the show has been on the air. How are you, Teresa? Welcome to the program.
I'm great. Thanks, Bean.
Tell us what you do as a way of introduction for our listeners.
Well, to put it simply, I speak to dead people.
Okay.
All right. Who does it?
Is this something you learned to do or something you were just noticed at a young age you were able to do?
I've always been this way. I've learned as I got older to communicate with them, to actually interpret what they were showing me and making me feel.
When you were younger, did you tell your parents and then they said, hey, not so, and then you learned to kind of keep it to yourself?
Well, I thought it was normal seeing people standing at the foot of my bed.
But your parents had to say, it's not normal. Your mom.
Well, my mom is very spiritual.
Okay.
So when I would say, oh, you know, I heard someone call my name, you know, she was always very comforting with it. And I always told her that never felt right. Like, I feel like I didn't belong. I felt that I was different. And she used to say to me, you know, well, you're not adopted. I don't know why you would have that feeling or emotion. Mm-hmm. And through spiritual awareness classes, I had gone to a spiritual healer. That's how I found out that spirit was actually trying to communicate with me. And that's what was causing a lot of my anxiety. Weirdness, as Bean would put it, the crazy train.
It comes through all the time. The crazy train never shuts off.
Crazy train is always tooting.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? As I'm listening to Teresa tell the story, Kevin, when we've talked about ghost stories at Halloween time, you've told the story before of something that really freaked you out that happened with one of your kids. Remember when she was real young and
she was
convinced that she saw someone in the room, right, Kevin? That she was communicating with someone that you couldn't see or didn't know
about,
remember?
It was just her and I, and she looked over in the corner and said, who's that? Now, right then, I was like, okay, either she's crazy or I'm crazy, because I don't see anyone over there.
That is so creepy.
Well, young children are, from what Spirit has told me, when our minds are clear, that's when Spirit is able to communicate with
us. They're so open.
They're so open. Their minds aren't busy with burdens and busyness. So young children and animals are very, very spiritually connected.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I did the right thing and closed her down and told her there was no one over there. Don't be crazy.
So, Teresa, when you walk into a room, like today is a perfect example. This is the first time you've ever been to the radio station, first time you've ever been on our show. When you walk in, is there something that you feel, something that's hanging in the air that you're aware of?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I've never been to L.A. before, okay. So let alone a radio station like this. But when I walked in, I got there was a father energy that was passed. It'd be the lung cancer, emphysema, something of the chest because he was laboring my breathing. There was a mother energy that just, she's telling me she's newly passed, which newly for me is within 2 years.
Okay.
You also have to understand because I feel spirit. I don't see like, oh, there's a brother, there's, I feel them. So if I say brother, it could be someone, if it's not your brother, it could be like a brother-in-law. Could be someone that was a good friend that was like a brother. Same thing for mother.
Okay.
Could be mother-in-law, grandmother. There was also...
Can I ask a skeptic's question?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
You're making it so broad. It could be any... Yeah, like, but, you start with father, and then you go, could be father-in-law, could be
well, because
brother,
it's a feeling.
Could be man.
Well,
so you could...
No, well, I didn't say could be man.
Well, I'm saying you generalize it so much that it's not specific.
Well, because... There's so much energy.
Right.
I just don't like to waste time. I want to go to who it is, and then what their information that they give
okay.
is specific.
Okay.
Okay. What's
so
the radio?
Like,
what's the? Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Therese.
Was that you, Bean?
That was Bean.
Yes. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Did you think it was a spirit voice?
I didn't know who it was.
She's a lot of stuff going on.
They're talking now.
She does. What's the radius that you're bringing in vibrations or whatever you want to call it from? Like, is it somebody in this room or in this building or
look,
in this city or what?
As big as it needs to be, Bean.
No, it's usually right here, or it could be someone calling in. You know, that I don't know.
Okay.
And I'm just the type of medium that I'm just crazy enough just to say whatever they're showing me.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also telling, now the mother energy is telling me someone's wearing a necklace or something in memory of them or something that they gave them.
Okay, Lisa, is that true of you?
No.
Beer mug?
No.
Not me, Bean.
That's just all the time.
This is what happened. They're bringing me into another room, and this actually happened before.
Okay.
You know,
what does that mean?
What do you mean they're bringing you to another room?
They're like bringing me down hallways.
Oh,
okay.
So, well, we do have a building filled with people, that's for sure.
Right. But yeah. You don't know someone that passed?
Now hold on a second here. One of the, and not Charles, who we've had on our show, but the security guard for this building died on Friday. I just want to throw that out there. I don't know. I mean, he was an older guy that we all knew that we were all friends with. What you're talking about?
What did you say?
He said an older guy that was a security guard.
Died suddenly on Friday.
On Friday.
Okay. Did he pass of the chest?
Yes. Yes. Okay. They think it was a heart attack.
Did everybody feel that he was like a father figure? Or like, did everyone look up to him in that aspect?
Well, he was older than all of us, so I think we had respect for him in that way. He was a colleague and a friend.
I think he had asthma and he had breathing problems.
Okay, so that would explain the breathing of the chest. Who's Stephen or Stephen Scott, Stephanie, or where does the P name come in? It doesn't have to be connected to this man. I need to, they're telling me I'm with you.
What?
Don't know
She's pointing
young...
a beer mug. What does that mean?
I don't... Well, who's the young...
I have a cousin, Steve, but he's alive.
That's fine. I don't place emphasis on names, because names...
Is he dead?
No. He's here. Who passed from suddenly unexpected, but he takes responsibility for his passing, which means that he actually did take his own life, or something happened that he would take responsibility for.
Wow.
Sometimes it could be an overdose, and no, Bean, it's not Michael Jackson.
Mm.
I wasn't even thinking that, but okay.
I wish I was.
I don't know. You're going to give us something to think about here.
I haven't had anybody in my family.
No, it doesn't have to be family. Oh. Close friend, or do you know somebody that lost a brother? They're telling me yes. Okay. I'll pass on it. We'll think about it. We have a little bit of time.
Teresa's having her own conversations in her head.
Is it possible? Have you been looked at? Is it possible that you literally are just having voices in
seizures?
Your head?
You're bipolar.
I'm bipolar.
I mean, really?
Absolutely.
No, I'm not kidding.
No, I thought...
I'm not kidding. Have you been checked for schizophrenia and all that stuff?
Well, that's how I ended up at the spiritual healer.
Okay.
Because I did. I went to therapy. I said, there's something wrong with me. And they insist, there's nothing wrong with you. You're normal. You're fine. I suffered from anxieties for many, many years.
Right.
And I was fine. And then I had gone to the healer, and that's
when it all made sense.
That's when it all made sense.
Did the anxiety go away then?
Yep.
Because you understood what it was?
I don't Well, because you have to understand, I'm telling you, I literally feel like I can't breathe. When I was talking about they just labored my breath again. So I actually feel like I can't breathe.
Do you say, hey, I got it. Stop laboring my breath.
No.
I mean, really. I understand.
You can't control it.
Steve, I should have thought of that 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
What was I thinking?
All right. We need to take a break. Our guest is Teresa Caputo, and yes, she's crazy, but I think very likable as well. The Long Island Medium is how she is billed. You can see her shows Sunday nights at 10 on TLC. Now, look, we didn't even ask for people to call, but the phone lines are blowing up like they do. what would you, before, we're going to take a break, we're going to come back, we're going to talk to a couple of listeners. We won't have sure. much time, but what is it you're going to want from them?
You know what? I really don't. I want to find out if there's someone on the phone that lost a brother, because that's where I got to go to. He's pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. He's telling me his family needs to know that he's at peace.
Well, can't he get out of the way for other people? You have to deal with that guy first. Yes.
That's how it works, apparently.
All right, listen, I don't know.
Listen, I don't know. What do you think? I'm psychic or something?
I thought you would know.
Really?
All right. We need to take a break. We'll be right back with the Long Island Medium.
Teresa Caputo is our guest in studio. When the Long Island Medium speaks, you may think, why do Kevin and Bean have Snooki on today? But that's not
the
case.
Oh, wow. How
and
dare
Teresa,
you?
Teresa tried to tell us with a straight face during the song, I don't have an accent. That's what she tried to
she
tell us,
that.
As if we were deaf. So anyway, Long Island Medium airs Sunday nights at 10. On TLC. It sounds like a hilarious show. Teresa, you said a brother has passed.
Yes.
And you can't move on until we find that person whose brother has passed. So mm-hmm. we're going to go immediately to the phones and talk to Josh on line four, who is listening to us today. Hey, Josh, you're on with the Long Island Medium. Hello.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Josh. What did he say? Let me tell you, the only thing about Snooki right now would be that I'm wearing a leopard silk blouse.
Yeah, no, you're nothing like her.
And I don't know if she wears silk, but
she
it's
doesn't.
Leopard.
She doesn't. All right, let's move on. What are you getting
okay.
for Josh?
We have, there's a brother energy present that passed in a tragedy. He steps forward with doves in his hands. Now, when spirit steps forward with doves in their hands, it is my symbol for that there was a tragedy to their passing and that they're safe and at peace with God. Do you feel...
Was the situation with your brother a tragedy, Josh?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Do you feel
what
that,
happened?
Do you feel that... Hey, listen.
Hey,
sorry. Your show, Bean.
Are you the medium?
Sorry.
Yeah, really?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Do you feel that you could have prevented your brother's passing?
To a certain extent,
okay,
yes.
Because he says absolutely not. He does not want you to carry that burden or guilt. Burden or guilt is any negative emotion. Should have, could have, would have, only if that my brother would still be here. So please know that if you are carrying any of that, he just wants you to know that it is not your responsibility and that he takes responsibility. He also wants you to know that he passed instantly. There was no suffering. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, are you in the car right now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, because he just told me he's riding in the car with you.
Hey, carpool lane.
You've got to be in the carpool lane.
Good news.
Listen, we have to move on from Josh so we can get in a couple more calls. But, Josh, if you don't mind me asking, just to back up what we're hearing from Teresa, what was the tragedy? How did you lose your brother?
It was a homicide.
Mm. Dude, rough. That's sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Glad you called. Thank you for listening. Let's try Nicole. She's on line seven. Nicole, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with the Long Island Medium. Hello.
Hi, Teresa. How are Kevin and Bean? Hi, everybody. Hi.
Now, Teresa, good do morning. You need her to ask you a question or do you just start?
No.
How does it work?
I could just start.
Okay. However it works normally.
Okay. Now, how I connect with spirit is through feeling. So there is is your grandma the departed?
Yes, she is.
Okay, and is also your grandfather departed as well?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So please know that they step forward holding hands, which is my symbol for that they were directly connected here in the physical world. Is there someone like Nicholas or Nicolette?
No, I'm the only, like, Nicole from my side, for both sides of the family.
Well, I keep hearing Nikki or Nick.
Did you know her name is Nicole?
They would always call me Nikki.
Oh, okay. I thought they were trying to refer to someone else like Nicolette or... Okay, but they called you Nikki?
Yes.
Okay. You always carry something of your grandmother's?
Well, in my room, I have something that she gave me, like one of the things that
Does
she...
it hang in your room? Because I feel like it's always visible and you see it. Just acknowledging that when you have that displayed, she's there with you at that moment. Did you just graduate? Something big's coming up for you or something?
Yeah, I just graduated from university.
Perfect. Please know that they're acknowledging that they attended it in spirit. Mm. Now, one way that you can look for spirit in pictures is look for any distortions in the picture, like white blurbs, orbs, white clouds, anything that distorts the picture. Just
that could also be rain on your camera lens, though,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Or your fingerprint beam, if you were picking your nose, something like that. You know, but just know that that's just the way the camera picks up energy. Now, who's the young male that passed?
The young male, I'm sorry?
Yeah, young male. Did you lose an uncle?
No one. The only people who have passed away that have been close to me have been my grandparents.
Okay, so then I'm looking for someone that's either 42 or passed at the age of 42, or the connecting. Or can you connect Nicole with the month of April and February as far as birthdays or anniversaries?
My aunt's birthday is in April, and she actually disappeared a couple of years ago, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to call to see if maybe she had passed. So,
because
we don't know what happened to her,
basically.
Wow. Okay.
What about that? I don't know. What do you think, Bean?
I don't know. This is your area,
you're
baby.
Chiming in at this time.
This is your area.
Yeah, you could put your 2 cents in before. What about now? Where's my psychic sidekick here? Really?
He's got nothing.
He's got nothing.
What do you think about her aunt? Is her aunt okay?
Well, see, I went immediately to an uncle.
Okay.
Yeah, no, nothing with an uncle, just aunt.
Okay.
Did she have a sex change?
No.
Okay, just trying.
I'm trying, Teresa. I'm just trying to help.
Yeah. You know, you know what? I almost feel like I don't.
Okay.
I did feel a hit to the blow to the head.
Okay.
And can you connect? Are you in LA? Like, are you in California? Because now what they just did is, see, because I'm from the East Coast, but they just brought me to the water, and I feel like I'm either by a bridge or by water.
Oh, I'm in the car, and it's pouring rain right now, so maybe that's why.
No, I'm that's actually by, like, no, I'm by rocks. Yeah, I'm by a body of water, and I actually feel like I either hit my head or, how can we kind of,
My aunt, she had an aneurysm, and maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But
who has the S name?
I'm sorry?
The S?
In their name.
Steven, no. Scott, Stephanie, someone's last name?
Not a last name, but I was with someone named Steven, and we didn't have a very good end up, so.
Okay. I am going to just say this. I do feel the aunt's presence. I do feel that there was a passing and something with the head. Okay. Either a blow to the head, either aneurysm, brain tumor, Alzheimer, or a dementia. Okay. And I did
Nicole,
not feel
that she was. Nicole, we have to leave it there. I'm sorry so much.
Okay, no problem. But thank you so much. And Teresa,
thank you.
I love you. I watch your show all the time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All the time. How about that? There is a 1 year plus waiting list for people to get readings with you. Is that true, Teresa?
It's 2 years now, and I'm actually.
Well, let's make it 10. What the hell?
What the hell?
You're actually what? Sorry, you can say that.
You can do that.
You can say that.
Oh, I can say that.
Yeah, you can say what the hell.
Okay.
People are fascinated with this gift. The Long Island Medium is the name of the show. It airs Sunday nights at 10 on TLC.
Yes.
And I'm glad we got a chance to meet you because I don't know. You know, I always wonder what Snooki's going to look like when she grows up.
Stop it. Snooki would never look like this.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, she would need a lot of help. You're right about that.
No hating on Snooki.
No, I'm not hating at all.
No,
she's best person ever.
Okay.
And you are delightful, Teresa. Thank you for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Long Island Medium, Sundays at 10 on TLC.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It is 8:56.
President of the UFC, Mr. Dana White, joins us tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Also, director-writer Tom Six from The Human Centipede is going to be here. And we'll talk to Jane Velez-Mitchell from CNN Headline News about the Conrad Murray trial. Boy, does Conrad Murray have some bitches, by the way.
What's up with that?
How many girlfriends does that dude have?
One matters, though. This is the woman he loves. Mother of his child.
By the way, still married,
I believe, and has 3 girlfriends on the stand. That can't be going well.
He's a baller, that's for sure. All right, it's a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, Hollywood continues to rape the 60s. Last hour, I talked about the fact that Mr. Ed was headed for the big screen.
Right.
The Talking Horse sitcom from the 60s. Today, it's been announced that Robert Downey Jr. and his production team are looking to put Perry Mason up on the big screen. Perry Mason, for those who don't remember, was a TV lawyer. He was the first big hit legal drama on television. Ran for many seasons.
Great show, by the way. Great show.
Great show when there's 3 networks and not a lot to watch.
Love Perry Mason.
Okay, easy. It was fine. It was very formulaic. Every week, Perry would have someone come into his office and say, "I'm being accused of murder, but I didn't do it." And then Perry would bring in people and put them on the stand. And he was the inventor of the slip up the guy on the witness stand
guy
and make him
confess to the real crime, and police would rush in and cart the real criminal off the justice.
I mean, that's the formula of Boston Legal and a million other shows like that. I mean, that's,
that was created by the Perry Mason formula.
All right. So, but why revisit it? That's your question. Why bring out Perry Mason again in the 21st century?
When we have 400 lawyer shows on television, you really don't need Perry Mason on your big screen saying, "Isn't it true, sir, that you were actually in that car at the time of the accident?" Yes.
Yeah.
We don't need it.
All right.
We don't need it. I'm saying we don't need it.
What are you saying?
Maybe we need it.
All right.
While we're talking about movies, this Lion King thing, this phenomenon that has been Disney's 3D re-release of The Lion King, $100 million in 3 weeks that movie has made. As you can imagine, Walt Disney said it is releasing more of their classic films as 3D films because they like money.
Sure.
Beauty and the Beast 3D, right around the corner. Then Finding Nemo 3D, Monsters, Inc. 3D, The Little Mermaid 3D, and then they're going to release Walt Disney's Frozen Head in 3D. They're gonna dig up Wally and they're gonna put him on the big screen.
Did
in
3D. They announce that?
Everything's going to 3D.
Yeah, but I don't
the
think
the churro they... stand 3D. Everything from Disneyland 3D, 3D, 3D.
Okay.
The marauding team of ninja cats 3D. Okay. Everything's 3D. Disney President Alan Bergman said, "Great stories and great characters are timeless, and so is cash." He added, no, he didn't say that. But. Television news. What? The copycat phenomenon of Hollywood. Is it just me or is it just gone run rampant? It's just out of control.
No, it is. It's ridiculous.
It does seem like there's one good idea and then 10 knockoffs that aren't as good.
Aaron Sorkin has announced he's doing a television show about television news, behind the scenes of a TV news show. Okay?
Okay.
He's doing that for HBO.
Okay.
Today, producer Jerry Weintraub has announced he is putting together a TV series based on producing the evening news.
That guy. What would he need him for?
The show will tentatively be called More as This Story Develops.
I'm going with Aaron Sorkin on that one.
Yeah.
And it's on HBO.
And it will be at least the second TV show to be developed about the world of television news. So, got another one.
Oh,
coming.
Bean's going to be in heaven. Kidding? Television news?
Sure. I don't have enough answers. I'd like to see more in-depth answers on those shows.
How big a hit was Aaron Sorkin's Sports Night television show about the behind-the-scenes of an ESPN style? Because that show was great.
It was great.
Not big hit.
We're not saying it wasn't great. We're saying it was not a big hit. And that was a disappointment that people didn't find it.
I love Aaron Sorkin. West Wing's my favorite show of all time. I was not as big a fan, Ralph, I don't think, as you were, of that Studio 60 on Sunset Strip.
I really
did not
that show.
I think that was very good.
It was very good.
But I'm very excited to see what he does next.
Better than Perry Mason, I'll tell you that much. Much better than that. But the good news in television is that the Coen brothers are getting into TV.
All right.
You know, Joel and Ethan brought us Fargo, Big Lebowski, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, No Country for Old Men, True Grit. They are doing a TV show about a loser Los Angeles private investigator and all his deadbeat friends who live in El Segundo. The name of the show? Harv Carbo. I am so in already. Just the name alone, I am in.
Plus their pedigree, what they've done.
Harv Carbo is his name.
Carbo.
Private Eye. PI out of El Segundo with a bunch of loser friends. Could not make me more happy than just the description of the premise of this TV show.
That does sound great.
Harv Carbo. That's all you need to know. Two words. Harv Carbo is his name.
Certainly doesn't appear they're copying anything.
No, this guy doesn't drive around a Ferrari. He doesn't have a supermodel girlfriend. He's just a loser.
Like mm-hmm. it. I'm in.
It's like the Rockford Files. Remember Rockford lived in a trailer?
Sounds like a Rockford completely.
Parked in a parking lot in Malibu.
Is he a loser?
Loser. Couldn't pay his bills. Got beat up all the time. Harv Carbo.
This sounds like a little bit like our friend Jason Schwartzman's show, Bored to Death, which is just a regular guy with no special skills or training trying to be a private eye.
Yeah, but this guy's an actual private eye with skills and training. It's just, but most private eyes don't make much money and don't have much of a lifestyle, despite what we've seen on television and in the movies.
I'm excited about them being in a project, even.
Yeah, and like you said, with their pedigree,
it's
guaranteed to be entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays, Brian Johnson of AC/DC is 64 years old today, Clive Barker is 59, Guy Pearce turns 44, Josie Bissett from Melrose Place is 41, Parminder Nagra is 36 years old, as is Kate Winslet. Bassist Paul Thomas of Good Charlotte is 31. James Valentine, the guitarist from Maroon 5, is 33. And actor Jesse Eisenberg is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm so happy to see these latest stories coming out about the band Kiss. Because Kiss, as you know, is all about the music, Kevin. They don't like to get involved in any kind of commercialism.
Correct.
They don't like to profit from anything. They just want people to hear the music. That's really what the band has been about in their 40 years of existence, right?
Yeah, I think that's been proven.
Well, now they're branching out, and there's going to be a Kiss cruise where you're going to be able to get on a boat leaving from Miami this week and be gone for 4 days seeing Kiss in concert every night. That's going to be the show that's going to be offered. How about that?
And you have to have sex with Gene Simmons every night.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's funny you bring up Mr. Simmons because Gene is back on the show, joining us on the Kevin and Bean program right now. Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm doing fine, of course. My life is fantasy-like.
Yeah. Certainly, yeah. So the Kiss cruise, I got the information correct. That's for real. That's happening. You are taking fans out onto the open seas to perform live for them.
That's exactly right. I mean, people come from all over the world to go to Kiss conventions, and they live the life of Kiss, and they're so consumed with not only the band, but of course the merchandising of Kiss and
sure.
Gene Simmons. We figured it'd be a great tie-in if you could go out on the open seas and have your entire cruise be devoted to the greatest rock band on earth, Kiss. And, of course, I'll be there performing, doing duties that you do on a ship, swabbing the poop deck. Lisa May, pick up swabbing the poop.
That's where you're going to start?
One, you won't be, and that's two, it. No.
That's where you're going to start?
I scrambled for that one. I'm sorry.
All right. Speaking of hitting on Lisa May, Gene, this might be an outstanding time for us to ask. If the reports are true, you and your longtime, long-suffering girlfriend of nearly 30 years, Shannon Tweed, apparently got married for reals this weekend. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Do you know that the wedding song that they play when you walk down the aisle?
Uh-huh.
I wrote that. You owe me money.
You didn't write that.
You didn't write that bride song,
also,
no.
There's been a lot of misconceptions about our relationship.
Okay.
It's been written that we've been together for close to 30 years.
Uh-huh.
I'm 32 years old, so that's impossible.
You're not okay. 32 years old. There's no way. You've been a band for 32 years.
No, I did the Destroyer tour when I was 6.
You're 62, Gene. You're 62 years old.
Silly. That's ridiculous. My hair is natural color, and
that's ridiculous. 32 years old.
But, these rumors that Shannon Tweed, my on-again, off-again girlfriend for close to 4 years,
can you say the word wife? Can you even call her your wife? She's your wife now.
Oh. Those are small details. Those are just words. We did, in fact, get married.
Okay.
This weekend. And it was a beautiful ceremony. She was nice enough to allow her bridesmaids to have their face decorated like Gene Simmons, in the Kiss makeup.
Oh,
it was
that's
fantastic.
Nice. All right.
It was really a nice little touch. Lisa May, speaking of decorating a woman's face.
All right.
Yeah.
Look, Gene, again, if you're married now, out of respect to Shannon, you're on the radio, you shouldn't be hitting on other women so openly, don't you think?
No, you're right. And I think that, since I've lived the life of a ladies' man so much, that was what was on the tip of everybody's tongue when they announced that we were getting married.
Right.
Speaking of things on the tip of your tongue, I put something on the tip of your tongue.
All right. Okay. Gene, do you have a...
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes. We all get it. Yeah, we're trying to move on because we're uncomfortable. Now, so it's true that you got married, but do you have some kind of special understanding where you could do whatever you want?
Of course, she understands that I'm one of the most handsome men that's ever lived.
Not anymore.
One of the most powerful men that's ever lived, and mm-hmm. I'm in the greatest rock band of all time. So certain indiscretions for other men are going to be allowed for Gene Simmons.
Okay.
But I don't want to talk about that. I think that's a little bit private. I want to talk more about the wedding because
okay,
it was
more about
a really beautiful ceremony.
Okay, tell us about the wedding.
Sure.
I I don't go to many weddings in the lifestyle that I lead.
Sure.
But we had one of those Sunday bars where you go and you create your own Hot Fudge Sunday.
Oh, those are awesome.
Have you seen these? Have you guys been to weddings where they have this?
Absolutely.
It's really fantastic. Yeah. I'm a big fan of ice cream and Hot Fudge Sundae.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, they have like the chocolate and the ice cream and everything available. And then they even had a little fountain that was shooting out the chocolate and different creams and things like that.
Is that right?
So they could add it. What are you guys laughing at?
That's the longest setup ever.
What did I say that would lead you down a path?
You tell us. Where are you going with that?
Oh, no. I was talking about the cream fountain.
Yes.
That's all.
The cream fountain, right.
Yeah.
Because it's ice cream, right, at the wedding reception. That's all you were
talking about. And the fountain, you understand that, that in guys who like fashion would shoot cream.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to leave it there. Thanks, Gene. Congratulations on the wedding.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have, and they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
Wow. That happened? That's got to be editing.
Come on.
Shut up, Rob. I need to hear it again.
It's not that funny, Rob.
Oh,
really
come on.
Do.
It's one of the classics already. It's like with a bullet. It's like in the top five.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have, and they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Why did they bail on you? I mean, at that point, I'm committed.
That was a marathon.
What
he closed
this?
Strong too, by the way. This was about 10 minutes ago. Talked to Duff McKagan.
Oh,
we're getting
man.
So numb to it that we don't even hear it.
It's funny because I didn't hear it either. Do. I was like, I don't even know what you must be referring to. And Bean's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry.
I heard that one and I almost jumped in and said, well asked, but he had already started answering the question, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But that was, Ralph's right. It's a marathon. Look, it's one thing to deliver magic like that for 2 seconds at a time.
Right.
But to go for like 10 or 12 like Kevin does, brilliant.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
I don't think I've ever heard that one that long from you before. Good. That's what really kind of rocked me.
Yeah,
good
great.
Times. Feel
we're
free to work that into the showbiz beat at any time, Ralph, that you're in the mood for.
No,
we'll have
sorry,
it standing
we don't have
by.
Time.
Wow.
In the meantime, though, time to take a look at what's going on in Hollywood. Here's Ralph.
Screw that. Let me hear that moment one more time. Let me hear
yes,
that again.
She speaks well English.
Really?
Yeah, come on.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have, and they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What happened? I think there's some editing there.
We're not that good. We're not that good at editing.
Man.
You guys won an award for your show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Have they listened to you at all?
Apparently not. We're not going to send that clip over now. They'll come back and pick up the award.
Take the Marconi away when they hear
right.
that.
Whew. Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some more passes to give away to a very cool event. The red carpet world premiere of The Thing.
Yay!
Happens Monday, October the 10th. Movies and theaters everywhere on Friday, the 14th of October. If you'd like to go, call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Next two callers who get through at that number will win a pair of passes. I am doing a little bit more and more research about this film because I'm intrigued.
Yes.
And initially, I thought it was a remake or a reboot a couple weeks ago before I started looking into it. And it turns out it's not. It is a prequel to the John Carpenter version. And then I thought, well, how is the film connected to the Carpenter version? And then
and
it dawned on me.
Do we need to have known about that?
Well, here's the thing. Okay. It dawned on me. I did a little more research, and I realized at the very beginning of the Carpenter version, Kurt Russell and his team show up to this completely destroyed, desolate scientific camp that had been set up by a group of Norwegian scientists. They arrive and find these bodies and find the place just burned to the ground, like in disarray. But you never know what happened to that group of scientists at that encampment before they get there.
So they don't try and figure that out in the movie.
No.
Okay. Wow.
Well, they do, but before they really can get to the bottom of it, the thing shows up. This film takes you through what happened to that team of scientific investigators from the Norwegian contingency all the way through up until the Carpenter version begins. And I found out that they use the exact set or a replica of the exact set that you see in the beginning of the Carpenter version is the set they use for this film.
That's
so
pretty cool.
The two are absolutely connected. So I'm really really excited about seeing The Thing. So call now if you'd like to check it out at the Red Carpet World Premiere. Very cool idea. All right. I can't stop thinking about that moment.
Stop.
My mind
stop
just keeps
it.
Going back. I'm just saying.
Do the showbiz beat.
Playboy Club's been canceled. The first cancellation of the fall season belongs to the Playboy Club. There's 3 weeks
After it debuted.
That's really pathetic. They handed you gold on a platter and said, here you go, make a TV show out of it.
Really does seem like it'd be a hard concept to screw up. Who wouldn't want to see...
Don't make Amber Heard sad either, by the way.
Smoking hot Playboy bunny set in a Mad Men-esque drama that takes place in the early 60s. You got everything going for you.
Mm-hmm.
Before you start.
It's a home run.
Yeah.
I never saw a minute of it. The reviews were so bad out of the gate, Ralph, and then you came in and said how horrendously they botched the whole idea. And I thought, I'm not even going to bother watching.
It wasn't really horrendously botched. It was purely executed. They did not fulfill the promise of the premise. It wasn't good, but it wasn't horrible. You know, it wasn't the worst thing I've seen.
But they took it a place you didn't expect it to go at all.
It was overly complicated. It was overly melodramatic. It was very soap opery. They squandered the opportunity. That's for sure. Mm. But America stayed away in droves.
Stacey writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, loved that so much. It was one of the most spectacular moments with Kevin I have ever heard. Well done. Is there any way I could hear it again? And I hate to bite into your time here, Kevin.
She didn't write in that.
Ralph, but do you mind? Could we give up 15 more seconds?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great and your life is great and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think the ending is... The person really seals it.
So you've had, would you say, a limited vocabulary due to not a great education?
Listen, if this show teaches you nothing else, kids listening at home.
Don't do drugs?
No, just never give up on your dreams because you don't know what life has in store for you. This man over here, I'm pointing to Kevin over here. This man.
Oh, stop it.
Makes a good living as a radio broadcaster talking every day for a living.
That is absurd.
So don't kill yourselves. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. It gets better, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It gets better. Anything is possible in this life. Anything is possible.
This reminds me so much. Was it Jim Abbott? Was that his name? The guy who never gave up on his dream to be a major league pitcher, even though he had one arm.
Yeah.
And he made it to the major leagues and lived his dream. Same deal with Kevin.
That's right. It is really inspirational. You are an inspiration, sir. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You are an inspiration.
You're amazing.
Thank you. So I think the blind people that want to be pilots or just anybody, just don't give up. Don't give up.
I don't even have the basics. You're right.
NBC has announced that Brian Williams' new news magazine, Rock Center, is going to take over for the Playboy Club. That's what they're going to put on in its stead.
That's not the title they're going with when it airs, though, right?
Rock Center.
That's the working title.
That was my name when I was a private investigator.
Is that right?
Yeah, when I used to work at. I'm Rock Center, PI.
Was it like a Dateline or something like that?
It is like a Dateline, okay. Yeah. It's a news magazine series that is headquartered at the Rockefeller Center in New York City, where NBC is headquartered. So that's where Rock Center comes from.
Okay. Doesn't have the pizzazz of a Playboy Club.
It does
but
not.
Okay.
But that's what we're going to have. Parents Television Council, by the way, is crowing today, saying that they had something to do with the demise of the Playboy Club, and they simply didn't. Had the ratings been good, that show would still be with us.
They're not the reason the show was bad.
That's exactly right. Kristen Stewart has some words of advice for girls looking to fall in love and stay in love. She was in Glamour magazine. They asked her, what do you tell girls who want a successful relationship? This is her philosophy. Don't be mean, she said. Don't take S, don't be an a-hole, and don't settle. So there you go. That's all you need right there.
All right.
She gives it
that's
to you.
A couple
I feel
cliches.
Complete.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a bunch of cliches.
Thanks
right
for
there.
The cliches.
This makes me sad. Kristen Cavallari, the beautiful and talented Kristen Cavallari.
Right.
Was voted off of Dancing with the Stars last night.
This is so funny. We literally get upset when people get voted off, and none of us watch it.
Do not care about the show whatsoever. However, I don't like pretty girls to be off my television.
I agree.
That's why I want the Playboy Club to go away.
Even though you're not watching.
Even though I'm not watching.
Yeah. You want to have the option of having them there.
I want to know that Amber Heard is in a bunny costume on my television.
Right.
That should I want to experience that?
Right.
Kristen Cavallari's dancing in a skimpy outfit on my television. Should I want to flip over there?
Right.
And may I point out again, she's off the show. Nancy Grace is still hogging it up every week.
Chaz Bono and Nancy Grace still dancing their
I was watching Nancy Grace. I
don't know sizable asses
was.
Off.
I was watching Nancy Grace because she's on the same channel that covers the Michael Jackson trial.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she spent the entire hour having people call in and tell her what. I don't think I'm doing very well. Oh, yes, you are. You're doing really well. Well, if you'd like to vote, go to blah, 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 blah. The whole hour.
Whore. Vote whore.
The whole hour.
Jay Cutler, by the way, was in the audience for Kristen's performance. I guess their relationship is back on. Looks like they've gotten over their little rough patch. They called off their engagement, but it looks like they're back together again. So I guess he figures he doesn't have football anymore. He might as well have Kristen Cavallari. Not having a great season.
No.
Jay Cutler.
I don't know. That's a toss-up.
Want to give you a heads-up tonight on FX? American Horror Story debuts. We've been talking about series premieres for the past couple weeks to try to keep you up to date on all the new television. So you can check that out. Dylan McDermott, Jessica Lange, Connie Britton. What a cast. Nick Swardson's Pretend Time on Comedy Central debuts tonight as well. And a new South Park on Comedy Central as well. You can pick that up.
Is The League, does that come back tonight? I think it does. That's a great show.
Perhaps,
I think you're right.
Perhaps it does, but it's not here on my little sheet.
Check that out, people.
So
do yourself a little research. If it's back tonight, check it out. If it's not, don't.
Also, for people like me, this is not for Kevin, but I'm sure Bean is interested. Tonight on HBO also debuts the first half of the Martin Scorsese, George Harrison documentary.
So excited.
About the life and times of legendary Beatle and solo artist George Harrison.
Not interested.
Tonight and tomorrow night. It's in two parts.
Two parts.
Apparently a lot of footage that's never been seen before and all new interviews with a lot of people in George's life. So I'm very excited. And Martin Scorsese. You guys never made a bad movie. Come on.
No. Still not interested.
The guy had a fascinating life. Wouldn't you just be interested just for that, Kevin? Just to check that out?
Not interested.
Man. Too much other good stuff on TV.
I know. You're a busy man.
What's a lot of soccer?
I think we know what question Kevin would be asking George Harrison
if he had the opportunity to interview him, though. George Harrison about his life and that everyone thinks is so great. What would he ask
now,
him, I wonder?
It's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, great and your life is great and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about your?
How do
you keep your head about your? I think that's an all right question.
And Duff tried to answer that.
I was going
to
say, he not only understood it, but gave an answer.
Oh, trust me, he didn't understand it. He was just trying to move things
along.
He was being nice.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
I'm out of time, so if you want to know who was born today, look it up. October 5th, birthdays, Google, boom, you got your answers.
You get tired of being counted on for that stuff.
God's sakes, people, I'm only human. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thursday morning, tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We have Jane Velez Mitchell, who is covering the Michael Jackson trial full-time and hasn't smiled in 2 years. Not sure why. We're going to talk to her and get a recap on what's going on. We are going to talk to Paul Scheer, who is in The League, which is tomorrow night, not tonight.
Aha! Okay. See?
Knew it was this week.
We are going to have a brand-new Internet Roundup. We have the president of the UFC, Dana White, on the show talking about Edgar versus Maynard rematch.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen these two guys fight, neither of them can knock each other out or choke each other out. And so they just, like, crazy people in the middle of the ring. It's fascinating to watch. They're great fights. And we have Tom Six, who has directed a little movie.
He was Magnum P.I., right?
By the name of Human Centipede 2.
Nope.
Not interested.
Not interested.
Which I think none of us are going to see. If I'm
pretty sure you're right.
Maybe Bean's going to see it. I don't know.
Yeah, Bean will see it and then reenact it in his basement.
That's true of the real people. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.